Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out of a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. Huh. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from this.
Right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Skyline Studio here on 18th floor, downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It is Wednesday, so that means our bump theme is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Get in here with your requests. You guys always pick the music that we play coming back from news and breaks. And today's theme is Wild Card Wednesday. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. And, yeah, and at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. At 6 o'clock, it's Steve Cochran for your morning drive on this Wednesday morning. Coming up on the show, our good friend Kevin Powell is going to join us. Kevin Powell covers sports right here on WGN on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes every weekday afternoon. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. It's always great to talk to Kevin. Back in the day, a few years ago when he used to produce Steve Cochran's show, I would see him every morning and, during the crossover. Now I don't get to see him anymore, but we have him on the show usually once a month to catch up on all the sports that he's been covering. He's got a really terrific podcast called Powell at the Park, and we'll find out about the latest podcast in that regard. Kevin also, when we did Fly Jams Friday, when he would come in early on Friday mornings, and we've been doing Fly Jams Friday for many, many, many years here on the show, he would always request Bill Withers. He loved Bill Withers. He still loves Bill Withers. So anytime he joins us, we play some Bill Withers just for Kevin. So anyway, that's coming up right here on WGN. Some of the other stuff we're going to be talking about, we had some food topics that we're going to get into this morning. Olive Garden news, weird publicity stunts by fast food companies, some iconic fictional foods. And also we'll have some fun with this. I have a website here that lists all of the It Girls for every year going back to the 30s. So if you want to know who the It Girl was the year of your birth, later on, we'll open up the phone lines or you can text us and say, hey, I want to know what who the It Girl was on this year, on the year of your birth, or if you just want to pick a specific year, or maybe we can take a crack at guessing, like if we get through some of these years and go, okay, let's pick a year and then try and figure out who could have been the It Girl just via memory. So the It Girl for every year, that's coming up. And after the 4:30 news, Know Your Onion. This is a fun game that Tom hosts, and we'll get two contestants. Each contestant will play a round by themselves, and they have to. What's going to happen is Tom is going to read a news headline to you, and you have to decide whether it is a real news headline or an Onion headline, meaning from The Onion, which is a comedy satirical newspaper. And, the news today, the real news today is just so incredibly weird and crazy that sometimes it's hard to discern between what's a real news headline and what's an Onion headline. So your job is to hear the headline and say whether it's real or the Onion. And you won't go home empty-handed. Everybody wins when we play Know Your Onion, and that's coming up after 4:30. So that's on the show this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text and for your Wildcard Wednesday requests. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. And the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, which is interactive. Whatever's happening on the show is happening on the Facebook page, so you should like it right now. It's facebook.com/Nick D Show. So like our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And also subscribe to our podcasts. We have a very popular podcast, and we thank you for that. Tons of people listen via podcast, and we're happy about that. It's a very convenient way to do it. If you're not up between 1 and 5 a.m. on the weekday mornings, that's the best way to listen. And every single second of every single show is podcast. So go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. It's free, and it will automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So there we go on this Wednesday morning. Yeah, welcome Wednesday. So let's say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right, man. How are you?
I'm very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
All right. Very cool.
Catching up, caught up on last weekend's SummerSlam.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And caught up on SummerSlam and Raw, and I'm going to watch a little SmackDown in the morning.
When you get home.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I understand later that Becky Lynch took a chair shot to the head.
She did.
Which was a mistake. And Sasha Banks is responsible for that. She's also responsible for doing the same thing to Paige, which now Paige can't wrestle.
No, she cannot.
So, yeah. I did see the footage. It looked like Becky lifted her head up a little bit too high, but that chair shouldn't have been anywhere near her head.
True.
So, but anyway.
That's the danger of wrestling.
It is.
That's what's happening.
It is. One of my favorite descriptions of wrestling. Wrestling is a sport where people who don't wear pants fight for belts. That's actually my it's one of my favorite one of my favorite descriptions of wrestling ever is that I'm a big wrestling fan. I don't watch it as regularly as I used to. I mean, I used to watch it religiously, and I've been a wrestling fan for many years, and I'd like to check in every once in a while. They keep up what's going on.
Right.
I think Becky's great. I think Becky Lynch is great.
Yeah. And I'm really impressed by Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
One, because she's from Glasgow. She's
right.
Scottish, and
right.
she's amazing. But I think she's doing pretty well out there for herself. She's defended the tag team title
right.
yesterday. So
right.
That was pretty great. And honestly, I'm really interested about SmackDown's move to Fox. That's starting in October.
It does. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. My mom's a big wrestler. My mom and dad both watch it, but my mom is a huge wrestling fan. I just find it so charming that my mom, who's in her 70s, watches wrestling.
My grandmother's a huge wrestling fan.
Yeah.
She's the one who got me into it. I remember going to, once it became the Allstate Arena, that's where they do all the WWE stuff. I went and saw Stone Cold Steve Austin, who's forever my guy. But that I must have been maybe, what, 5 or 6 years
old. He's got a show now, you know, after Raw.
Yeah.
It's just some sort of reality show where celebrities come on and they drive trucks and they smash stuff and they drink beer. Which is pretty much what you think when you hear
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I interviewed Stone Cold. I hosted a Q&A for a movie that he did. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was like one of those movies where they're in prison and they're being hunted. It was like mid-2000s.
Yeah, there was a string of
and
WWE
I can't remember.
Films, yeah.
I can't remember what the hell it was called. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Could not have been a nicer guy. I think he's great. That's the Attitude Era. Y'all caught up on that? Are you all caught up on Big Brother now?
Yeah. So okay, eagerly so awaiting
tonight. We'll see who gets the veto.
Yeah. I'm very nervous.
It'll be fine. All right. Let me say hello to Vic Vaughn, who's in the newsroom. Hi, Vic.
Hey, good morning, sir.
How are you, sir?
Very well.
Oh, good. Good. So, another Wednesday morning. And you'll keep an eye on what's happening in the news. An unfortunate loss for the Cubs, considering that Quintana pitched a great game with 14 strikeouts and they couldn't score any runs. Very aggravating. You know what? We'll talk about that with Kevin. That's what's going to happen. So we'll break here. And when we come back, Kevin Powell is going to join us. You can hear him every weekday afternoon on the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVellantes, and he covers sports. And we're going to talk sports with him right after this break. And I know it's going to be a lovely day. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. It is Wednesday. That means Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. That means get your requests in. It's any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We will have another round of Know Your Onion. Tom is the host. He will read some news headlines to you, and you have to decide whether they are real or the onion. And you win prizes because of that. We got some food topics to jump into, including iconic fictional foods and some ridiculous publicity stunts by fast food companies. Olive Garden's some news there, too. We're also going to find out the It Girl for every year. So if you're wondering who the It Girl was, you know, the It Girl, who the It Girl was the year you were born, call us up and I'll look it up and we can all find out together who were the It Girls at during certain years and then reminisce about that good old It Girl stuff. So that's coming up. All of that and more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected on our Facebook page, which is the best way to stay connected. Like us now. It's Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcast, too. It's free. Go to iTunes, wherever you get them. Subscribe. It'll automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. All right. You heard some Bill Withers, and you know what that means. Sports. Bill Withers. You know, when you think Bill Withers, you think sports. No, actually, you think Kevin Powell, who does WGN Sports here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis weekday afternoons. And he joins us periodically to just talk sports and catch up. It's always good to talk with Kevin. Kev, how are you, man?
Nick, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Always great talking to you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right, listen, what year were you born? And we can look up your It Girl later. I'm not going to do it now, but we'll do it later.
1989, Taylor Swift wrote an album about it. Great year.
All right. So we'll do. You can find out later. We'll let you know later who the It Girl was.
Radio tease.
1960.
All right, I'm on the edge of my seat to find
out.
Yeah.
That's you know what? I'm really good at that kind of stuff. You know, I got a plaque in the sidewalk outside of the Tribune Building because of stuff like that.
I know you did, Nick. You're the best.
All right. All right, Kev, we got to talk sports. But before we do, tell everybody about your podcast, Powell at the Park, and what are the latest ones that they can get at WGNRadio.com?
Yeah, the latest one is breaking down the trade deadline for both the White Sox and Cubs. And, you know, for the White Sox, it was interesting because they've been so active over the past few years as this rebuild has kind of, progressed over the past few years with the Chris Sale trade, the Jose Quintana trade, Adam Eaton. So they were selling off a lot of pieces to accumulate a lot of prospects, and they did just that. They're kind of done with this major overhaul where it is a major, you know, process of accumulating prospects and talent, where now it's kind of like the core and the foundation is here. They have that. So it was really a quiet deadline for the White Sox, which I think everybody kind of took a step back and said, fine. I mean, it's fine what they did. There really wasn't any other pieces to sell off at this point. You could have made a case for a couple guys here and there, but overall, that the team's foundation is here, and I think, you know, this upcoming offseason, you're going to see them really be buyers in free agency. So a little bit different of an angle for the White Sox compared to previous years. And for the Cubs, look, they don't have a thick farm system right now, so they did basically about as much as they could. The big one is Nick Castellanos at the buzzer of the trade deadline, and he's been outstanding for them so far.
I mean, he hit a home run last night, too, in a game that's so... Yeah. I mean, let me tell you something right now. Everybody on that team owes a personal apology to Q. To Quintana, because he pitched his ass off last night. 14 strikeouts, the highest of his career, and they couldn't score for him. They couldn't win the game. Oh,
yeah, it's sort of in the tune of Jose Quintana's career, where he just doesn't seem to get a ton of run support. And that was a shame to see. I mean, he battled out there for the Cubs. So yeah, as you mentioned, 14 strikeouts. I'm with you right there, and it's you know, this Cubs offense, the Cubs on the road are
just—it's
mind-boggling, and there's really no answers to be found. They've had a good road record under Joe Maddon. They've always played well in the second half of the season. They did salvage a split in Cincinnati, but it just look—I don't know. There's no answers. Nobody seems to have an answer why they struggled so much away from Wrigley. I mean, look, teams are always, for the most part, going to play better at home. That's understandable. But not to this extent, where the Cubs haven't won a road series in a long time. So I don't know what's going on there. But
finish up with your what you were saying about Powell at the Park, though. I interrupted you.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. That was the gist of it. They did make about as many deals as they could make, considering what they have, you know, in their farm system. But so far, so good on Nick Castellanos. He's a kind of bad as we kind of try to figure out this offense for the Cubs, where it seems like, if you look at some of their offensive numbers, they compare with some of the top teams in baseball. But some of the numbers are kind of skewed because they've scored in bunches, and when they don't score, they go cold. And look, this isn't something. This has kind of been going on for a year now. We saw it the second half of last year with the offense. We think about the final weekend, right, when they couldn't get anything going and they lost the division, they lost in the wild card. So I do love that Castellanos, that's a veteran bat. He provides power, doubles, all those sorts of things, and he's fitting right in. But, the road struggles are just you can't really figure it out. But anyways, I had Tony Andracki from NBC Sports Chicago. We kind of talked all things Cubs and kind of looking forward to the end of the season. Broke down the trade deadline. Scott Merkin from MLB.com, who's been covering the White Sox for many years, does a great job there. So I checked in with both of those guys.
All
and
right.
You can listen to WGNRadio.com and basically anywhere you can find podcasts.
There you go. Powell at the Park. Great podcast, and Kevin hosts. Yeah. Oh, we're going to jump into baseball here and then specifically the Sox, because you last night you were at it was a very long day for Sox fans. Yesterday,
people
who were working at the station. But I just want to go through some of the insane first place teams here. How far above 500 some of these teams are, like the Yankees. They're 39 games above 500.
Mm-hmm.
The Astros are like 37 games above 500, and there's a couple of more here. The Dodgers,
Minnesota are all of a sudden in the American League Central. And look, the Twins had an 11-game lead on Cleveland in the AL Central at one point this year. Now they're pretty much deadlocked fighting for the division title. So,
yeah. I mean, you look at the NL, and again, insanity here. You look at the NL West, the Dodgers are 18.5 games up from the Diamondbacks, who are in second.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to take a deep dive into that, the record disparity. I mean, we're kind of seeing it all sports now, and especially in baseball, where it's either you're ready to contend for a World Series or you are trying to lose as many games as you possibly can to restock your farm system. Look, you got two teams here. The White Sox and Astros is a perfect example. I mean, the Astros lost over 100 games, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
They went through the rebuild.
Yeah.
And they built a powerhouse, though. I mean, they had accumulated so much talent, that George Springer, Altuve, Alex Bregman, those sorts of guys, and they won a World Series, and they're a complete powerhouse. And then you look at the Baltimore Orioles in the American League East, and the Yankees are just, they're toying with them. I think they've beaten them 13 straight games, and it's, look, you can have that. That's a whole other argument. I mean, the Baltimore Orioles right now, that's an embarrassment. That's not an MLB team right now. So, and then they can argue that, look, we're trying to get to where some of these other teams were, you know, what the Astros did, what the Cubs did. I mean, the Cubs did kind of had that blueprint as well, and now the White Sox. So it's kind of it's interesting where it's not every team does this, but there are, you know, a handful of teams. That, and look, it's hard to argue against it, right? Because if you're really bad for a few years, it does appear to pay off. I mean, the Cubs have been in the playoffs for 4 straight seasons, right?
Yep.
Multiple division titles. The Astros are World Series contenders now for a year, for many years to come. The Yankees are going to be the Yankees. It's kind of hard to argue against the blueprint, but I guess, you know, to your point, maybe that's why we are seeing such a huge gap in the record. I'd have to probably take a closer look at it year by year. But, yeah, it's kind of top-heavy, though. But there are some really, really good teams.
There's some really great teams. And some. Well, you mentioned the Orioles and the Tigers this year. My God. It's just embarrassing. Just terrible.
Yeah, the Tigers are a team that's kind of going through a rebuild as well. I mean, they traded away Justin Verlander. You know, they're in rebuild mode as well. So, is it good for the game? Is it bad for the game? To me, it's tough when some of these teams come to town and you're watching and it's just some atrocious baseball.
Yeah.
But then you do get to see a team play like the Cubs or the Dodgers or the Astros, and they're just it's great baseball.
With the inconsistency of the Cubs on the road, I'm just happy that there's still a game up on the Cardinals. I mean, they could be worse.
Right.
I mean, it's so this division is so ridiculously tight. We're going to be watching these standings every day through October.
Yeah, I think it's going to go, you know, because the Cubs finished on the road too.
Yeah.
These are the last 7 games on the road, and those are division games. It might kind of get decided again. I mean, just like last year, the last series against the Brewers determines the division, and that could potentially happen again. I mean, yeah, to the Cubs have caught a break where it looked like, you know, anytime they fell into a rut, the Cardinals and Brewers also did.
Yeah, yeah.
And weren't able to make up some ground. So it is very tight. There's going to be some intense battles between these NL Central opponents over the next few weeks here. The season is flying by. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me, but to me, it's been an entertaining one. A lot of storylines. The Sox, you know, have had some struggles, but they've been such a major improvement compared to last year, where they've been enjoyable to watch. So,
all right, listen, Kevin, we're going to take a break, and we're specifically going to jump into the White Sox. Okay.
Okay.
All right, cool. Kev, hang on a second. Kevin Powell is with us. He does sports here on WGN. You can hear him every weekday afternoon on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes, and you can also follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. All right, and get his podcast. Subscribe to his podcast. It's a great one, Powell at the Park. All right, we'll break. We got the news coming up. Then after the news, jump right back into sports with Kevin Powell right here on WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on a Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. That's any artist, any song, anything. We'll play them a little bit later on. 312-981-7200. We got a bunch of food topics that we're going to get to, including iconic fictional foods and weird publicity stunts pulled by fast food companies. And we got some Olive Garden news. Also, if you want to find out what It Girl was hot the year that you were born, who was the It Girl? We're going to do that a little bit later on, talking about the It Girls for every year, going back, I think, to the 30s, that far back. And then, of course, we have another edition. It's Wednesday morning at 4:30. We will have Know Your Onion, where you have to tell the difference between a real news headline and an onion satirical fake news comedy headline. And the news is so weird in the real life that sometimes you can't tell the difference. So there you go. Let's get back to our conversation with Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell works right here at WGN Radio, covers sports for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes weekday afternoons, and joins us periodically to catch up on some sports stuff. And Kevin, welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, thanks again, Nick. Appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to get into some White Sox stuff here. First of all, let's talk about the doubleheader yesterday, last night. A long day for people who cover the White Sox, and a long day for the folks here at WGN and the engineers who work the games. It was a long set. Let's talk about what we saw in that doubleheader.
Yeah, well, Dylan Cease started game one, and here's a crazy little... Dylan Cease now has started three game one doubleheaders this season alone. He's had seven career starts.
Wow.
And somehow he started three career game one doubleheaders for the White Sox.
Wow.
It's insane. He was a little bit wild. He had five walks through six, but he pitched out of a lot of jams, and he only gave up two runs. And I think one of the things that's impressed me with Dylan Cease so far is that he has been able to pitch out of jams. His last two starts, his first innings have not gone well, but he's pitched out of bases loaded situations. He did give up runs. He gave up the first batter of the game, hit a homer against him. But overall, you can tell he belongs. I mean, his command has been sort of an issue all season long, where he does issue walks, but he does seem to find a way to pitch around those mistakes. And then after the game, I mean, A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, was asked about Cease, and he had nothing. He was raving about Dylan Cease. So, you know, he's great arm. He thinks that his numbers are a bit misleading, because for Dylan Cease, yeah, his numbers aren't all that impressive right now, but it's such a small sample size. And really, it's just been kind of a one-inning situation for Cease, where he's given up a lot of runs and it's inflated his ERA, but it's way too early to focus on ERA for such a young pitcher.
Yeah.
And then Ivan Nova pitched the nightcap, and we asked Ivan Nova after the game what he thought of Dylan Cease, and he was like wide-eyed. He's like, I love everything about his game. So I think numbers not exactly there for Dylan Cease, but he's an impressive guy. I think he's got all the tools, all the pitches to be in a big-time major league pitcher, and he's getting there. And, you know, it's just seven starts through his career, but so far I think overall pretty good for Cease. I don't think there's any reason to be panicked or any reason to, you know, anoint him as the next greatest pitcher ever, but I think he's certainly showing that he belongs.
Can we talk a little bit about his partner in the battery during yesterday's game?
Not great for Wellington Castillo.
Yeah,
three pass balls. One of them just went past his mitt and hit the umpire. Another one, I think, went past his mitt and hit the umpire's hand. We asked Ricky Renteria about it after the game. We didn't have a chance to talk to Wellington Castillo, but Ricky said that Wellington told him that it was just one of those days. I guess that's really all he could chalk it up to. But it was, look, you know, and I could make the argument, too, where James McCann has been such a great veteran presence behind home plate for all the White Sox pitchers. He was an all-star this year for the Sox. He knows how to manage the game. You know, it is, to make the case that McCann should be starting behind home plate for all of these young pitchers. Now, I know Ivan Nova, well, we'll get to the nightcap, but Ivan Nova ended up pitching a complete game. He's been outstanding, but he's also a veteran where he can probably work with a catcher who isn't doing his job as well. Compared to Cease, it's like, give him every advantage possible. So I don't know if moving forward they would say, okay, let's have McCann behind home plate for Cease and for Giolito and Lopez and those guys. He obviously can't start every game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not a great day for Wellington Castillo behind home plate.
No, it wasn't. Now, they're continuing to play the Astros. They got another game today at 1:10 against the Astros. And now, since they're playing the Astros, one of the best teams in the majors, people are talking about whether or not they can follow in the Astros' footsteps and go from the lowest to the best, and how soon can they do that? Is there a time frame that the Sox have, or are they just going along and thinking, hey, we can do what the Astros did?
Yeah, I think that's obviously the goal, the mindset I think a lot of the players in the organization have. I think they can. Look, 2020, I think when this whole thing started a few years ago, was the year everybody thought could be the year this thing gets really going and the wheels start turning. And I think the Sox have a really good shot next year of being a team that can contend for the playoffs. They really do. I don't think that's a stretch to say that, especially considering, I mean, you look at Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal, their top two positional prospects, just absolutely tore it up down in AAA last night in Charlotte. They both have worked their way through the farm system. Madrigal, I think, was like 3-for-6. Luis Robert went 5-for-6. He reached base 5 times. He was a homer shy of the cycle. Those guys are raking. So those two guys could probably factor into the equation. Luis Robert could be your starting center fielder opening day of 2020, and Nick Madrigal could be your starting second baseman, which means just about your entire, positionally, Eloy Jimenez is in left, Luis Robert in center, and then Moncada third, Anderson short, Madrigal second, Jose Abreu first, and then your catchers McCann or even Zach Collins, who's another prospect. So you look at that, and then you look at most of the rotation is set, and all of that without them spending any significant money in free agency. So they have a whole full free agency ahead of adding a right fielder, adding some veteran guys, maybe landing. You know, Gerrit Cole, the Astros, is a guy that is going to be free agency. He'll be the top targeted free agent pitcher. Sox will certainly go after a guy like that. You know, John Lester was a turning point for the Cubs where they were able to win him over, and the whole league was like, wow, Cubs got Lester. He was the big fish this offseason. Maybe the Sox will go in on a Gerrit Cole, who's been nothing but outstanding. He was scratched from the start tonight with a hamstring discomfort.
Right.
But my point is, like, that there's still the next step to this rebuild is free agent spending and adding free agents. And that part hasn't happened yet because there really was no reason to rush that. They tried with Manny Machado. They missed out. But who knows? Maybe they'll land a big free agent. But, yeah, I think they're right on track. I really do, Nick. I think, you know, you look at the game improvements from this time last year, it's significant. So
yeah.
I think they can make a pretty good jump next year.
You know, before we jump over to the Cubs here, are you going to Iowa to see the game of the Field of Dreams?
I am hoping and praying that I am. hey, look, as the flagship station of your Chicago White Sox, I think we should get a little extra something. You know what I mean? Come on.
So, yeah, that sounds like that's just going to be a blast, right?
I am so pumped for that. I mean, I hope I can get a credential for it and cover the game for the station. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the way they're doing it, they're going to cut out a path from the center field, the original Field of Dreams, which is still there, of course, as a tourist attraction. And then they're building a temporary 8,000-seat stadium adjacent to it, and they're going to cut a path through this. So you could basically walk from center field, from the original Field of Dreams, into the new ballpark.
Oh.
And the right field wall is going to be clear, so you'll be able to see the cornfields there. The dimensions of the temporary park are supposed to replicate that of the original Comiskey Park. There's just going to be a lot of cool little things. And look, they've already broke ground on this, so I think they're really trying to make this something special.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. I don't know. If, I love the movie too, Nick.
Me too.
People are like, I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I really hope to be there. Yeah, for you sure. Know, obviously,
I love the movie. I also love the fact that they showed it at Comiskey. I keep calling it Comiskey. I'll always call it Comiskey. They showed it at Guaranteed Rate on Friday night after the game.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was fitting, and that's why they had that sort of odd 2 o'clock start, was to accommodate that viewing the day after the big announcement. Now we know why they made a Field of Dreams screening, because they wanted to coordinate it with the announcement. You know, last year they did that too. It was, I believe it was a Sunday afternoon, and I was at the game, and after it they had a screening of The Sandlot.
Oh, sure.
And you know the fireworks scene, right, where they want to play underneath the fireworks on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
Because it was the one game they could play under the lights, which, bit of a stretch, but whatever, we'll roll with it. It was pretty cool, because during the screening, during that scene, they blew off fireworks behind
the
ballpark.
That's
so, like,
cool.
Right above the screen, they had fireworks going, so it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
You know, now that they have this massive video screen out in center field, I think they've been able to do some pretty cool things with it.
That's great. All right, Kev, hang on, okay, man?
All right, you get it.
Kevin Powell is with us. We'll get to the Cubs, and we want to talk Bears, too, because the Bears season is just around the corner, man. I can't believe it. Just around the corner, Bears season. We'll get into that. And a little Cubs news as well. We're talking sports here on 720 WGN with our good friend Kevin Powell. And we'll do more of that right after this.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here on 720 WGN. It's Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. We got some food topics that we're going to get to and much more. And, of course, after the 4:30 news, Know Your Onion. We'll get two separate contestants to come on, play around each, and some will win. But everybody, nobody goes away empty-handed. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Kevin Powell. He's from WGN Sports. He covers the sports scene for the Rokan Show with Ana DeVellantes every weekday afternoon. Follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And let's get Kevin back in here. Hey, Kevin.
Pretty crazy to think we're already talking Bears, and they've already got one game under the belt so far, Nick.
It always sneaks up on me. You know what I mean? Like when you know, like the preseason starts, everybody's like, "Man, it's still 90 degrees outside." And let's do a couple of real quick Cubs related things here. Zobrist, he's running around in AAA right now, and they're thinking he might be back by the end of the month.
Yeah, end of August right now. So you know, he's a veteran. He's going to tell them when he's good to go. But I think that'll be a huge boost for the Cubs if and when he does make it back to the bigs. But yeah, I had a stint. He got bumped up to AAA, so he's going to have a little run with them for the next couple of weeks, and we'll see where he's at. But they're certainly going to enjoy his bat back in the lineup and his presence in the clubhouse.
Yeah, and it'll be nice to see him come back. I've always liked him. I mean, you know, co-MVP. Come on, man. You know,
right? Such a good guy. He's such a great clubhouse guy, respected by everybody.
All right, sounds good. All right, let's go to Bears. Everybody's getting excited. Are you excited, Kev?
Can't wait. Can't wait, Nick. You know, I mentioned this really all off season. I haven't been this excited about an upcoming Bears season in a long time, maybe in my entire lifetime, to be honest with you. I'm not dismissing what the Urlacher teams did, but it just feels a little different. There's just so much talent on this team and a lot of good vibes. A couple question marks here and there, but for the most part, this team is just about set. Except for that old kicker position, Nick.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're pretty much ready to rock and roll.
And you know, there's some people talk about how Nagy is handling using the starters and getting their reps during games, as opposed to what he's really doing is having them just work their butts off in practice to get that in. But some people kind of want to see the reps of playing in a preseason game actually happening, but he's kind of going in opposite direction in that.
Yeah, I'd be fine if all the regular starters don't play a single snap in the preseason.
Oh, okay.
I really would be completely fine with that. There's just it's just not worth the injury. It's not. I mean, you know, Roe and I were talking about it on the air last week, and as we were talking about it, a Detroit Lions player went down with an injury. He's probably going to miss the season. And that's a significant offensive player for Detroit. So it's like, it's just not worth it.
Hey, can we talk a little bit about the fight that happened on Tuesday morning at practice? What happened there, man?
Yeah, it was Princeton Mukamara, the veteran defensive back, and Javon Wims, the second-year receiver. Just got a little heated. Javon Wims actually threw a few punches, and Princeton Mukamara, who's one of the veterans of the team, was like, hey, I learned a long time ago it's never smart to punch a helmet. he was like, yeah, I got in a fight in college, because he just kind of stood there while Wims was losing it. But, you know, they all kind of shook it off. Look, this is football players. They've been beating up on each other now for a few weeks. I think this time of year, everybody's getting anxious to get the season going, to start playing other teams on a regular basis. They shook hands. They kind of shrugged it off. As Mitch Trubisky said, brothers fight, and that's accurate. So just things got a little heated, and yeah. I think, you know, after practice yesterday morning, it was pretty much everybody shrugged it off. I don't think it's anything really.
Yeah,
to
well,
worry
it's
about.
Funny.
Just football players hit each other for 3 weeks straight.
That's right.
You got to figure tempers will flare eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Even if you're on the same team, you know. But I love the quote. The quote was that came out of the whole incident was sometimes the juices get flowing.
Right. Hey, it's football, man. You know, Akeem Hicks and Kyle Long got into, I don't think it was this heated, but those two, you know, Akeem Hicks and they're battling in the trenches. It's going to happen. You know, in the heat of the summer, you're down in Bourbonnais. You know, tempers are going to flare here and there, but yeah. I don't think it's anything really to worry about.
All right. Tiger Woods at Medina. What's going on? What was going on there?
Yeah, so this is the second leg of the PGA Tour's playoffs. They put this in, 8-9 years ago, where it's sort of the end of the year a playoff where they have three tournaments and there's points rewarded and things like that. Tiger actually withdrew from the first leg of the playoffs last week with a mild oblique strain, but he showed up at Medina yesterday morning. He's supposed to play in a pro-am today and then tee off Thursday at Medina, where he's won two majors there in his career, 1999 and 2006. He won the PGA Championship. So Tiger Woods is in the Chicago area. If you're a golf junkie, get out to Medina Country Club. It is my golf heaven, Nick. I will be out there for sure this week. You get to see some of the best golfers in the world.
Yeah, well, I know that you've been there several times, and I know that you love that place. I've seen you post pictures and all that
my
cool
paradise.
Stuff. What makes Medina so special?
Probably how vast it is. The clubhouse is iconic. The iconic putting green. There's been so many major moments there, actual majors. As I mentioned, the PGA Championships, the Ryder Cup was there 7 years ago. Just so much history there. There's actually three courses. They're going to play number three, which is the championship course, and then they've remodeled one and two. It's just a huge, for as far as you look, you don't see anything but golf courses and landscape and greenery. You really don't see anything outside of the course. I mean, one hole is kind of runs along the street, but there's fences and the fence and some trees and things. It's like an oasis for a lot of people. It's just sort of when you're at the clubhouse, you're kind of in the center of a golf mecca. I think for some, it might sound like I'm overselling it, but I think if you really love golf, it's just a special place.
No, I've heard that from people, many, many people, not just you. I'm not a golfer.
Yeah.
I'm not a golfer, so I don't know. But that is a consistent comment that people have about Medina.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm dragging my brother there. He's a golf fan, too. I'm like, hey, man, you are not missing this. Let's go. He and I are going to go Friday morning. We're going to walk the course and just have a good time.
Very cool. All right, before we get out of here, let's talk quickly Blackhawks. We're entering the second year with Colleton, and he is sticking to his guns. How are people feeling about this? I'm feeling good about this season.
I'm very excited for the season. You know, the Blackhawk convention felt different than it has in the past few years, where there's just a lot of positive energy. And the way last season, I don't want to say ended because they missed the playoffs, but the way it started a trend where I think the teams bought into Jeremy Colleton, I think that gave you some hope as well. And, you know, the return of Andrew Shaw, me, there's just some good energy kind of starting to build with the Blackhawks again.
Yeah, well, it was weird because, you know, like last year was kind of crazy because, you know, like the shoes that Colleton had to fill were massive. And, for a while, people were kind of just, you know, not having it. And I was actually one of them. But he's
well, it's hard, man. Q's is such a beloved coach. And,
yeah.
And this town falls in love with coaches. The Dickas, the Phil Jacksons, you know, it's.
you just fall in love with Q, and Q is perfect Chicago-style coach, right?
Yeah.
Very aggressive, blood's boiling on the bench, he's screaming at the ref, he's got the mustache, you fit the profile.
And he brought us three cups, man. I mean, that, you know, under his guys, you know, there have been three Stanley Cups, so it was big time for me to alter the way I was feeling when Colleton came in.
Yeah. I really do believe that they've bought into his message.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I've talked to some people at the convention that are part of the organization that said, yeah, maybe it took a little time, we'll admit to it, but I think really down the stretch, they played some pretty good hockey, Nick, and they found a way to even get back into playoff contention. Fell short, obviously. But,
yeah. Well, yeah, the last part of that season, every game counted last season. It drove
me.
It made me nuts.
Blackhawks hockey again.
Yeah.
It was like a stretch where it was like, I can't remember the last time we watched a super high-intensity, high-leverage game. And every game was huge down the stretch. So
every one of them.
It's got me excited.
Yeah, very cool. All right, and we can hear you every weekday afternoon on the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantes and follow you on Twitter at KPowell720. Kevin, always a pleasure, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Take care. Kevin Powell, everybody. Hear him weekday afternoons right here on WGN doing sports. Great guy. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN. The news is next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here on 720 WGN. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. You're made Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in. We'll play them later. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. You guys program the bumps every morning, and it's Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200. Okay, what was that?
So that was 6 Feet Under by a little band called Saga.
That was Saga?
Yeah, that was Saga.
Who requested that?
It's coming to us from Steve.
Steve. Wow, that must be later era Saga.
Yeah, it looks relatively new. This is from 2012.
Wow. Okay.
They're still at it.
Yeah, they are. They are. And you know, I'm one of the biggest supporters of Saga that there is. I'm just not familiar with their most recent work. Because like when I was a fan of Saga that was back in the 80s. So, all right, Saga. Okay, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We got some food-related stories to talk about, and a little bit later on, we're going to be finding out the It Girl from every year since the 30s, and if you want to know who the It Girl was the year you were born or a specific year in time, we'll do that in a little bit, the It Girl. Also, we got Know Your Onion, which is coming up, and nobody goes home empty-handed when playing that. But we got some food things here to talk about. Tom, you enjoy the Olive Garden?
No, I find it an affront to all things Italian.
Well, as a person who is half Italian, I don't hate the Olive Garden. The Olive Garden is kind of what Taco Bell is to Mexican food.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Olive Garden is to Italian food. and I love Taco Bell. I don't love Olive Garden. I like Olive Garden. I think it's fine. The thing about Olive Garden is, you know, they say, hey, endless soup and breadsticks and, you know, salad and all that stuff. And then you can also go for endless pasta. But, you know, like, they're the same parent company that owns Red Lobster, and I happen to really like Red Lobster, especially in the fall, which is coming up. I think in about a month, they will start their endless shrimp campaign, which is something my friends and I had taken advantage of many times every year. We would go, and my record is still 275 shrimp. You got it, but here's the thing, though. You gotta not eat. I know it's tough to not eat the Cheddar Bay biscuits. I know it's very difficult, but you can't do it. Maybe have one. I mean, if you want to take advantage of endless shrimp, like if you really want to get your money's worth and stuff your face with shrimp, do not go nuts with the Cheddar Bay biscuits. I know it's tough.
They're so good.
They're so good.
I get the the boxes from the Jewels.
Yeah.
Get to make them at home.
They're phenomenal. And so, but don't do it if you just want to get your, get every penny's worth of stuffing your face like a pig with shrimp. Also, do not get any, like for instance, I made the mistake one year when I was still drinking that I got, I drank beer with the shrimp. Not good. I just have water. That's it. Just have water, one Cheddar Bay biscuit, you know, just wrap some of them up and take them home.
Smart.
And then go nuts with the shrimp. Also, I find that you get more mileage if the shrimp is not deep fried or breaded. And also, don't get like shrimp Alfredo.
Oh, no.
Don't get that kind of stuff. The best for your buck when it comes to endless shrimp is the scampi. The shrimp are a little bit smaller, but it's garlic, butter, boom. Goes down easy. You can just shovel them. But they have, I mean, the other thing is that if, you know, you have to order, the first thing that you order, you have to order two different kinds of shrimp. And then you can just order this one kind, you know, as you are ordering more throughout. And, you know, you can order like a specially, a special one, you know, maybe go for like the first round, go for maybe one order of the deep fried one. And then for the rest of the night, you just go with scampi. But now Olive Garden is offered to feed you pasta for the rest of your natural life. So this is insane. So this is something that Olive Garden is doing now. Last year, Olive Garden gave customers the chance to declare their unyielding love of pasta and breadsticks with the annual Pasta Pass, a $300 permission slip to house as many carbs as possible over the next year. The pasta passes are back again, but the chain isn't just offering 365 days of pledged loyalty to Italian cooking any longer. Starting later this week, Olive Garden wants to, the rest of your life. All right. Okay, well, first of all, $300 for 365 days of pasta, that's a great deal. It is. But that's also a lot of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to go to Olive Garden a lot in order to get your money's worth. And pasta is also unbelievably filling. Like pasta and breadsticks? Well, I mean, you're not going to eat a lot of it.
No.
You know, like every visit's not going to be a long visit because you're eating pasta and breadsticks, which will fill you up. So it's kind of a smart move on Olive Garden's part to do that. You know, no, they're not losing money on that. Because who the hell's going to eat 900 pounds of pasta and breadsticks? I mean, you'd just be like, you'd fall asleep at the table day three.
And how cheap is pasta? You know?
Yeah.
Cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And of course, they got all the fixing on it, you know, the sauces.
Yeah.
But really, cheapest dish there is.
The Lifetime Pasta Pass will be available beginning at 2 p.m. tomorrow, August 15th. 2 p.m. tomorrow. That's Eastern time, so it'll be 1 p.m. here. So 1 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, August 15th, for the first 50 people who can spare $500 in exchange for infinite pasta, breadsticks, salad, soups, and sauces until the day they shuffle off this mortal coil. An online waiting room will open 5 minutes prior. As suggested by the company's announcement, those invited to opt into the Lifetime Pasta Pass will break even after an estimated 45 dishes. The pass will only be available online and regrettably not in the form of golden tickets hidden beneath platters of fettuccine Alfredo. All right, so an online waiting room, $500, and you can go to Olive Garden and eat pasta and breadsticks and all that stuff for free. Okay, that's pretty great, I think. Like for your entire life for only $500.
Question is, how much will your life be shortened
by eating all that pasta? That's a good point. But yeah, but now it's only 50 of them. So it's not like, you know, again, there's only going to be 50 people once this publicity thing, you know, campaign starts. There's only 50. So your odds of actually getting one of these Lifetime Pasta Passes is not real good.
considering how many people are going to flood that. They're going to break the internet. So starting Thursday afternoon at 1 p.m. this Thursday. So you got an online waiting room. You can get in there for 5 minutes. But we'll see how insane this goes. If you can't, or for some incomprehensible reason don't wish to, get your hands on a lifetime pasta pass, 24,000 consolation prizes in the form of $100 never-ending pasta pass will be available, good from September 23rd through November 24th. But for 50 people later this week, never-ending pasta won't expire at Thanksgiving. It will expire when they say it's time at the ripe old age. After a long, fulfilling life of good times, romances, fleeting, lasting, and lasting alike, memories made and shared in innumerable bowls of chicken carbonara. But the 2,400 consolation prizes of $100 never-ending pasta pass, that's good between September 23rd and November 24th. So for 2 months, you can go to, you know, you can go for you can go to Olive Garden and eat like a lunatic. So. All right, well, there you go. So get your mouses clicked and ready. Oil up your computer fingers and go to town on Thursday afternoon starting at 1 o'clock. Lifetime pasta pass. Would anybody do this? 312-981-7200. Talk or text. Do people love Olive Garden that much that they would actually want like the never-ending pasta or even for the 365 days for $300 where you can just go back and again and again and eat pasta, salads and breadsticks and soups and sauces.
I think I might put myself in the waiting room.
Would you?
Yeah. And if I get there, you know, maybe $500 if it's lifetime.
It's lifetime.
If it's lifetime.
You're only 25.
I know. Think of how much pasta I could eat.
You could eat a lot of pasta.
I know.
That's a lot of pasta in your future.
Yeah, I'm not a small man.
No, you're not.
I shop in the Husky section of JCPenney.
Yeah.
You know?
So what do you guys think? You Olive Garden fans? Do you enjoy the Olive Garden? 312-981-7200. Would you do this? Lifetime pass for $500. You got to go online. There's only 50 of them, but there's a possibility that you could win consolation prizes in the form of a $100 never-ending pasta pass that's good for 2 months. So what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. And for those folks out there, you know, who also go to the Red Lobster, I prefer Red Lobster over Olive Garden. And it's almost exclusively because of the Cheddar Bay biscuits. But yeah, and the endless shrimp thing is my friends and I have taken full advantage of that in the past. So, Olive Garden, you can eat pasta for the rest of your life. Get in there 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. Get in that waiting room and compete with others for the 50 infinite pastas that are out there. That's pretty crazy. And we are, by the way, are going to talk about some of the crazier publicity stunts made by major food brands. This isn't crazy. It's kind of goofy, but, you know, it's legit. There's 50 people out there who are going to be able to eat pasta at Olive Garden for the rest of their lives. And I'm assuming some people will love that. So jam up the internet and break it on Thursday afternoon starting at 1 o'clock just so you can eat pasta for the rest of your life at Olive Garden. Sounds like a plan. All right. 312-981-7200. Is the phone number for both talk and text, and we want to hear from you.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah, man. Wild Card Wednesday. What's going on there?
So that's the Battle of New Orleans by Johnny Horton. That's coming to us from Dino.
Dino. All right, Dino. There you go. That's how it works. Speaking of working, our text lines are not. They're down right now. So if you were thinking of texting in, and a lot of people like to participate on the show via text, but that's not happening right now. And apparently our text service is down for maintenance and probably won't be, will be down for the next like maybe 45 minutes or so. So if you want to be a part of the show or comment on any of this, the phone lines are working. So call us instead of texting us. I know it's more convenient to do the text thing, and we love getting texts from you guys, but our service is down at the moment, which is not cool. But anyway, you can call if you want to get in. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're currently talking about, we're going to get into some crazy publicity stunts by major food brands. And the latest campaign from Olive Garden, they did the annual pasta pass, which was a $300 permission slip to go to Olive Garden and wolf down as much pasta, you know, and salads and breadsticks and all that stuff that you can for an entire year. But now they are doing the entire your entire life. It's the Lifetime Pasta Pass. It's available beginning at 1 o'clock in the afternoon this Thursday, August 15th. And it's for the first 50 people who can spare $500. So it's $500, and that means for the rest of your life, you get infinite pasta, breadsticks, salad, soup, sausage. And there you go. And an online waiting room is going to open 5 minutes prior to that, so 12:55 Chicago time, get ready to go into the waiting room and get ready to break the internet. And then you battle for those coveted 50 passes of pasta for the rest of your life. But again, there are 24,000 consolation prizes in the form of a $100 never-ending pasta pass. And you can use that from September 23rd through November 24th. So basically for 2 months, you can go to Olive Garden and eat as much pasta and breadsticks and all that stuff as you want. That's a consolation prize. But we're wondering if you guys would do that. 312-981-7200. Again, our text messages are down at the moment. So if you want to be a part of it, you got to call us at 312-981-7200. And I'm trying to remember how long they've been, because they always have something going on. Because we've mentioned sort of like the sister restaurant to Olive Garden under the same umbrella company is Red Lobster to Olive Garden. And they have some sort of, they have a campaign going all the time. It changes all the time. And I don't know what it is now. The current Red Lobster, special.
We're going Crab Fest.
Is it Crab Fest is happening right now?
Yeah. That says it ends on September 1st.
Ends September 1st. What does Crab Fest consist of? Do they have a description of Crab Fest? Because
yeah.
I like crab very much.
So you get, what it says is Crab Fest is on with 9 craveable creations, like the new Crab Imperial, now $15.99, or crack into a pound of wild-caught snow crab, now just $20.
Wow, that's cheap.
It's pretty cheap for crab.
Yeah, it is, because crab is very expensive.
And good. It took me a while to come around to crab.
Really?
Yeah, I was terrified of it. I was like, I don't know how to eat this.
Oh, it's fun.
It's yeah.
You know where they have great seafood is Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. Oh, it's nice to hear George's voice back on the show.
Oh yeah,
because he wasn't. We didn't have a lot of advertising from George for a little while. He took a little break, but he's back, and Ribstock is happening.
That is fun.
Right now, it's an annual event. And George really loves it, and there's going to be deals on racks of ribs, and it's all through, I believe, the 19th? Monday, right? Monday the 19th. Yeah, Monday the 19th. It ends on Monday the 19th. So take advantage of that, man. I mean, well, the ribs, obviously, everybody knows the ribs at George's place at Gale Street Inn are just incredible. Some of the best ribs that you can get in the world. And yeah, so he's going to have special prices, and they're going to throw back to 69 prices because that's when Woodstock happened. And he does this event every year, Ribstock.
Yeah, you can get a baby back, a full rack of baby back ribs for $19.69. All the prices are $19.69.
Oh, $19.69. I gotcha. Yeah, George. Oh, it's great. George Karzis. I love that guy, man, and he's always been an integral part of my show. I've always loved him. And anytime there's any kind of celebration or if we just want to have a great meal, we always go to the Gale Street Inn. In Jefferson Park. It's the greatest restaurant in the world. And George is the best restaurant proprietor that I've ever met. He loves his customers. He loves his restaurant. He loves the business. And he loves to give people good deals. And he loves promotions like this. So Ribstock is happening. If you want to talk about a great promotion at a great, great restaurant, go to Ribstock and take advantage of some of those prices and take advantage of some of the food. But all the food. I want to mention all the food. I've never had a bad meal at Gale Street Inn. I've never had not a great meal at Gale Street Inn. And we've been talking about crabs and stuff like that. They have fantastic seafood Surf and Turf, all kinds of great stuff on that menu. And specialties, their jambalaya is fantastic, and obviously the ribs are beyond reproach. But yeah, Ribstock, there's a campaign happening right now. The Gale Street Inn is great. Just GaleStreet.com, tell them I sent you. Say hi to George. He's there all the time. He is a very hands-on guy. He's not one of these owners who just, you know, lets other people run the place and just, you know, just like, where's the money? He doesn't do that. It's not the kind of guy he is. He's a hands-on guy. He greets people. He cares about the customers. He cares about the quality of the food and everything at that place. And it's a class joint, always has been. It's the greatest restaurant on the planet, in my opinion.
How long has it been around?
50 years at the current location,
mm-hmm,
in Jefferson Park. That's where, but it has been around. It's been around for, I want to say, 55 or 56 years.
Wow.
So over 50 years, and 50 years at the location it's at right now on Milwaukee, right across from the Jefferson Park bus depot, Blue Line, all that stuff. It's right directly across the street from there. And he also has specials for people who get off work at 5 o'clock. There's like happy hour specials and all kinds of really cool appetizers. And he's got a really great chef who's very creative in the back and comes up with some really cool dishes. But every dish I've ever had there, every meal I've ever had there is great. And obviously everybody in this city knows about how great the ribs are. So GaleStreet.com. And I want to thank George for taking out some ads here on the show. It's great to hear his voice. And he does the best commercials. And that's another thing. He's hands-on with his commercials.
I love that.
Like, that's him. That's the guy who owns the place, who's doing the commercial. It's not, he didn't hire an agency, you know. He wants to be hands-on in everything he does. And I think that's what makes the restaurant so great and so special. So, anyway. All right, so you can go for, Lifetime Pasta on Thursday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and eat pasta for the rest of your life at Olive Garden. You can go for the Crab Fest, which is happening at Red Lobster. But I think your best promotion right now is Ribstock, and it ends on Monday at the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn.
I should go on like a Jimi Hendrix tea or something.
Oh, he would love that.
Yeah,
he would love that. They decorate the whole place, and one of the best places to go during Mardi Gras. They go nuts at Gale Street Inn during Mardi Gras time, right? Fat Tuesday all the way on to Easter. It's a madhouse.
Love it.
Yeah. So anyway, Gale Street Inn, it's the best. GaleStreet.com. Get it to Ribfest as soon as you can. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about weird publicity stunts that major food brands have offered. Again, our text line is down. So if you normally are texting to be a part of the show, it's not working right now. But you can call 312-981-7200, and we'll get you on the air and talk to you that way. All right, the news is coming up after this. Yeah. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. You can get your requests in at 312-981-7200. You got to call, though, because our text lines are down. For some reason, they're down. They're doing some maintenance on them. You can't participate through texts, and we'll let you know when it comes back on. We're thinking probably after three or so, we'll be able to get some texts from you guys to participate that way. But until then, call, we'll get you on the air, and we will talk like humans. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And what was that request?
That was I'd Rather Be Dead,
yeah,
by Harry Nilsson from Squat.
All right, Squat, there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And once again, our text lines are down, so just call us if you want to participate. We are now going to talk about some weird publicity stunts by major food brands. We were talking about some of the campaigns that food places do, like your never-ending pasta at Olive Garden and all these other places. But here are some very weird ones. Like for instance, This is one that is pretty recent. Does everybody remember when IHOP said that they were going to change their name to IHOB? So instead of IHOP, it was IHOB. And so when that happened, everybody was like, "Oh," because it just seemed very strange. And of course, I assumed this, and I think many people assumed that the B was for breakfast. and just and you know it, you know they wanted to expand upon the fact that they have more than pancakes. So I thought the B would be for breakfast, but for some insane reason, it was burgers. And they wanted to let people know that they sell more than pancakes, and in fact, they sell burgers. Now, it was a publicity stunt, but at first, we found out it was a publicity stunt, but at first, when the news broke and they started to say that they were going to change their name, everybody thought it was real. Everybody thought that this institution that's been around for so many years, International House of Pancakes, was now going to be International House of Burgers. And I'm old enough to remember when it wasn't shortened to IHOP, where it was you would call it the International House of Pancakes. The commercials would say the International House of Pancakes. IHOP didn't come until a little bit later on. But that's a publicity stunt that once it was revealed that it was burgers, people were like, shut up. They're, you know.
Yeah, easily one of the worst of recent memory.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous.
They got taken to task for it.
They did. They were dragged over the coals a little bit for that one, but no pun intended, burgers. So there have been other weird publicity stunts that are even worse and crazier than that one. But how about this? Colonel Sanders rappels down a high rise. It's hard to imagine KFC's elderly Colonel Sanders doing much outside of eating and talking about his finger licking good chicken. But in 2011, a man dressed as the Colonel strapped on a harness and rappelled down Chicago River's Bend Building. So it's the Chicago River Bend Building. They did it here?
Hmm.
The colonel did not stop at rappelling down the 40-story building. He also handed out $5 everyday meals to window washers. What was KFC's concept behind this dangerous promotion? They wanted to show the world that they were taking lunch to quote-unquote new heights.
Why?
All right.
And we're the only city that did that? Seriously? We have the distinction of having we are the only city where a guy dressed up like Colonel Sanders rappelled down a high rise?
Well, I'd say that the fried chicken market is pretty competitive here. There's a lot of places you can get fried chicken here.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there are. And of course, you know, the fast food fried chicken thing is pretty competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I like KFC.
I'm more into Popeyes.
I think Popeyes is better, but I like KFC.
Yeah, KFC's good.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
But if I can get like Harold,
well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to go to a world famous place that's not a, you know, like a fast food chain
conglomerate,
you could always pick those places. But I always thought it was weird because you know Colonel Sanders was a real guy,
mm-hmm.
and I just still find it kind of weird that he's become like this character. But he was a real dude. He was a real guy. Like, it was his recipe, you know, his secret recipe of spices and seasoning. And he, like the real Colonel Sanders was a real guy, and he was the real spokesman. It was like, this is the guy who started Kentucky Fried Chicken. And now they don't refer to it as Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's only referred to always as KFC. But they don't even tell you now they don't even mention that it, you know, that the KFC stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken. But, you know, it was just, you know, so, cause I mean, I'm old enough to remember the real Colonel Sanders being a part of their commercials and their advertising and their, you know, magazine ads. And I'm old enough to remember Colonel Sanders as a real guy. And now he's portrayed by, you know, a bunch of different actors and actresses, including, you know, Peter Weller as the RoboCop version of Colonel Sanders, and so many other people who have been playing the Colonel. I don't even think they refer to him as Colonel Sanders anymore. I just think he's the Colonel. And then, of course, the last one, which was the most ridiculous, was where those kids are skateboarding and they're tired of boring food. And here comes Chester Colonel with your
Churnel,
who shows up with the
Cheeto cheese covered chicken sandwich with actual Cheetos on it. So that's the latest incarnation. But I have to say this. I remember feeling really weird in the 90s when they brought the Colonel back, like, animated. Like, he was the animated Colonel, and he rapped. And, like, he was an animated, like, goofy animated Colonel who did, like, I think he maybe even did a little popping and locking, maybe a little bit of breakdancing, but he definitely was, like the hip Colonel. And I was like, that just seems weird to me. I don't know. So, I mean, it's like they don't have, like, an animated Orville Redenbacher. You know, they don't have some other weirdo people playing Orville Redenbacher. But that's the kind of thing it is. It's like, well, imagine if Orville Redenbacher now were, like, you know, rapping and, you know, doing breakdancing and being all hip. Or, you know, you get some B-grade actor portraying Orville Redenbacher in a series of very strange commercials. Because Orville Redenbacher, again, real guy, real spokesman, real guy who started the company and the popcorn. So, anyway, Colonel Sanders rappelled down a high-rise, Chicago's Riverbend building here. I don't remember it. It happened in 2011, and I don't remember it. But he did hand out $5 everyday meals to window washers, which was nice of him. So, all right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Once again, our text messaging is, for some reason, down, and they're working on it right now, and hopefully it'll be up a little bit after 3, and you guys can participate that way. But right now, we just want to hear from you via phone. If you can, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for weird, strange publicity stunts by major food brands. Here's Glenn on WGN. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
I'm not sure when it was, about 20 years ago, Coca-Cola had a thing going where on certain cans, you open them up, money would pop out of them. I'm not sure if you remember that.
Money would pop out of them?
It was like a 1 or a 5 or a 10. There was no soda. I'm not sure if it was spring loaded. I remember hearing about it. But I do know in one instance, a guy got a $5 bill, and he was upset because he wanted a soda.
Because he wanted Coke. So there was I was just thinking to myself, okay, so we're going to put money in a can of Coke, and then what? Would you open it up and it's soaked? It's like it's covered in Coke.
I never came across one myself.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
It was short lived.
Well, it sounds like something that would be short lived. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
Hey. You're welcome. Have a nice morning.
There you go. You too. That's weird. I love the fact that the guy got $5 out of a can of pop and then was upset because there was no pop. But I was really had a taste for Coke. I was really hankering for a Coca-Cola, not a 5. It's like, my question is this, for this campaign. Now, I don't remember that campaign at all. How do you pick up a can of Coke and not know it's empty? Because if it's just got a $5 bill in it, that is not going to simulate the actual weight of a 12-ounce can of Coke. That's not going to work. I mean, can't you pick it up and go, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. This Coke seems empty to me. Unless they put a weight in the Coke, which would be ridiculous, because how much money are you going to spend on this campaign? First of all, you're shoving dollar bills and $5 bills into a can of Coke, and then if you're going to spring load them and also add weight, how expensive a campaign is this? How is this good for Coke sales? I don't know. Never came across that one. That seems weird, too, but it fits in with exactly what we're talking about here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Some very weird publicity stunts by major food brands. We've all seen it. And again, I don't remember the $5 being jammed into a Coke can. I do not remember Colonel Sanders rappelling down a high rise here in Chicago. But I'm sure there are many more, and we've got them coming up. 312-981-7200. Text lines are down, but call us right now. Phone lines are up. 312-981-7200. More after this on WGN. Roxanne.
right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Any artist, any song, anything, you pick them. You hear me, Wildcard Wednesday? Yeah. Who requested The Police?
That's coming to us from Mr. B.
Mr. B. All right. There you go, for The Police. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about some really weird or goofy publicity stunts that were pulled by some major food brands. We had some fun food topics that we've been getting to this morning. And if you want to get through, our text messaging thing is down. Our service is down right now, and that's annoying. But it'll be back up soon, we hope, like maybe after the 3 o'clock or 3:15 time. And you can participate in the show that way. But the phone lines are working, and they're up and running. So if you would normally text, give us a phone call, and we'll talk about it online here, or on the air. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Coming up, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. Get back to some of the stories about crazy publicity stunts by major food brands. Let's see. 312-981-7200 on the phone right here is Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. When I was young, I worked at the Associated Press, one of my first jobs in Chicago. And we get free passes to go to the ball games and stuff and the Blackhawks games. And, well, Colonel Sanders at the Cubs games would be walking around, the original, and if he would see a child, he would pull out a chicken leg subtly out of his pocket, you know, and show it to the child. And it was really something to see. It was, he put in a lot of time over at Cubs game.
Was this guy official, or was he just some weirdo walking around?
He was Colonel Sanders himself.
Yeah, so it was the real Colonel Sanders, and he had
1953.
He had chicken legs in his pocket.
Yeah, but they weren't real. You know, probably they weren't real.
Okay.
But he'd look at a child and pull out this chicken leg, like, you know, that little game he's playing with the kids.
That's
pretty neat.
That's very strange. Very strange.
Very strange. Yeah. Right. Yes. But it was neat. And I'm calling from McHenry, and Tom's Crystal Lake guy, so we kind of neighbors.
There you go. All right, Pat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
bye.
That's weird. It's pulling a chicken leg out of his pants.
I that actually happened to me once when I was in a frat.
God.
We had this like.
I can't believe you were in a frat.
I know. Neither can I. Really,
knowing you, you know, and your personality, that you were just so unfrat like.
I know, but I was the life of the party, man. Especially this night, we had like a function earlier. It was for it was like a fundraiser. So we got all this Popeye's chicken.
Uh-huh.
There was a ton left over, and we had a house party. And at one point, I went into the fridge. I was like, oh, I'm kind of hungry. Started picking at the chicken. And there was a ton of it, so I stuffed my pockets full of chicken and was just walking around. Whenever I'd see one of the brothers, I'd be like, hey, what's going on, man? You hungry? He's like, yeah, you know, a little bit. I just pull a piece of pocket chicken out.
Pocket chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a caller who enjoys pocket meat. We just have meat for his pockets. Is this a thing that I'm not aware of? That people just put meat in their pockets and walk around like a weirdo handing out meat?
It's a calling, you know. Sometimes you gotta be.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta be the guy.
I don't know what to call it, but it's something. Oh boy! All right. So pocket meat, pocket chicken. That sounds really appetizing. Wow, the real Colonel Sanders walking around with chicken legs and freaking out kids, going, "Hey, look, kid, here's a chicken leg. It was in my pants. I'm Colonel Sanders." You know what you should Google image search image Google on the computers and the internets is you should Google Jerry Lewis Colonel Sanders, because it's one of the greatest Kentucky Fried Chicken ads of all time. So just like Google Jerry Lewis and Colonel Sanders, and it was an actual ad that they ran. Can you see it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Colonel Sanders seems unfazed by what Jerry's doing.
He's probably thrilled.
He's got a bucket of chicken. Jerry's got a bucket of chicken, and his mouth is open very, very wide. He's going to shove a chicken leg into his mouth, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Big Mouth loves Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah. Take it from the Colonel.
Well, The Big Mouth was one of Jerry Lewis's movies, and that was obviously a publicity shoot for the movie The Big Mouth, which, by the way, is a hilarious movie. But yeah, that's Colonel Sanders, the real Colonel Sanders, sitting next to Jerry Lewis.
That's just the wide-eyed expression Jerry's face is too much.
Oh, I have that. I have that. I'm not kidding. I have that framed on my desk at home. I have that Colonel Sanders ad framed at home. More really weird, strange, goofy publicity stunts by major food brands. How about this? The world's largest popsicle. Sometimes being the biggest doesn't mean you're the best. In 2005, Snapple wanted to make the world's largest popsicle to promote their new line of frozen treats. Their plan was to display a 25-foot-tall, 17.5-ton treat of frozen Snapple juice in New York City's Union Square. However, their plan ended in a sticky disaster. The day Snapple tried to present the popsicle, New York was experiencing warmer-than-expected temperatures. The pop melted so quickly that a river of sticky sludge took over several streets. In a city already congested by traffic and tourists, this made Snapple the number one enemy that day to everybody in New York City. Oh, is that terrible? Oh, my God. 25 feet tall, 17.5 tons of frozen Snapple juice melts all over Union Square. That sounds like a nightmare.
I can't imagine who thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, clearly fired.
Yeah, because you really gotta have some faith in the weather.
Yeah,
if you're gonna try to pull off a stunt like that.
Yeah, I don't even remember Snapple having frozen treats. Do you remember Snapple? This is 2005, so it was 14 years ago. You know, I do not remember Snapple having anything other than Snapple.
It does ring a bell. It does ring a bell. I think they did have like real fruit popsicles or something like that, you know, it had bits of fruit in, and they was
and that was Snapple. I know that there are real juice and fruit bit popsicles out there under many different company names, but I just don't remember Snapple doing it, and I certainly don't remember this stunt, because it would, I mean, how could that not have been like so huge, you know, and newsworthy in 2005? The internet was a thing. You know, not quite as instant, as insane as, you know, social media is now, but it still existed.
Here we go. From the New York Times, June 22nd, 2005, headline, "A shocking thing happened to the big popsicle. It melted."
Okay, so it's late June and they decide to do that stunt?
Oh, my God. Yeah, Snapple, the soft drink maker, answered the question of whether a 17.5-ton popsicle can be made to stand upright in Union Square. It cannot.
That is insane. Seriously, June 22nd is the date you're going to choose to do that in New York City?
Here's the best line. Alas, like James Arness in the 1951 alien thriller, The Thing from Another World, the giant snapsicle began to melt.
That's pretty funny. That's a pretty funny reference. Anyway, wow, what a stupid idea. Hey, I got an idea. In late June, let's build a giant frozen a frozen popsicle. It'll be fine. It'll be great. Oh, man. I don't know. Does anybody remember Snapple having frozen treats? 312-981-7200. Text lines are still down, working on getting that back up. But if you want to call us, it's 312-981-7200. Does anybody remember Snapple having frozen treats? I have no memory of it at all. Wow. So.
Yeah, sorbet bars. They kind of look like freeze ice.
Is that what they call it? That's what it looks like? It's in a plastic tube?
Yeah, and then you've also got Diet Snapple on ice. This looks more like it's from 2005.
Okay.
Where it's like, it's literally just like a popsicle.
All right. Wow. Okay, that was a real success right there. All right, more incredibly weird, stupid, and publicity stunts by major food brands as we talk about some very funny and weird food stories. Again, working on the text lines. Hopefully they'll be up soon. And but as for now, you can call us at 312-981-7200. More after the news, which is coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio here until 5 a.m. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday! Any artist, any song, anything. Who the hell requested Darkness?
That wasn't Darkness.
Oh, that sounded exactly like Darkness.
I know.
Didn't that sound like Darkness?
It did, yeah.
Who is that?
It's Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, which is kind of like the Darkness.
Yeah. Remember last year when they were supposed to be the new Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Remember that? I thought that was Darkness. They sounded, but Darkness got the same kind of hype too.
They did
when their record came out.
Well, and I know they're cheesy and everything, but you can't look me in the face and tell me that I believe in a thing called love isn't
ridiculous.
Catchy tune. It's catchy,
it's ridiculous.
Though.
It's ridiculous. Now, as Greta Van Fleet, I know a lot of people stand by these guys big time. I know
they do.
I have friends who are big fans, and I just don't see it. I think they're fine. You know, everybody's like, "Oh, they're the new Zeppelin." I just think they're the new Black Crowes. They're not the new
sorta, yeah.
They're the new Black Crowes. Who requested that?
That's coming to us from Linkin Park Jim.
Linkin Park Jim enjoying a little. I thought it was Darkness. I swear to God.
Yeah, no,
I thought it was Darkness. I mean, I'm familiar with Greta Van. I should have known that too because I'm kind of familiar with their music, and especially they perform that on SNL.
Yeah,
but I completely forgot. I completely forgot it because to me it's interchangeable with 900 other things.
Yeah, they're not the first, and they're not the last,
and they're not going to be the last. Trust me, they won't. All right, hey, welcome back, everybody. It is any word on the text village?
Still working on it.
Still working on it. Still down.
Yeah, still down. Okay. Still not able to get it.
All right. Well, you know, we'll hopefully we'll have it up before the end of the show, so that you can contribute to the show via text, which a lot of people do. So it's cut down on contributions to the show. Hopefully they'll get this thing up and going.
Well, our carrier pigeon line is still open.
That's right.
And I'm looking for smoke signals.
Exactly. We're looking for smoke signals on the roof of the building. But our phone lines are open at 312-981-7200. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the It Girl for every year. And we've got Kevin. Kevin Powell. We got the year that he was born. We're going to find out what It Girl was there, and that was 1989. Vic, what year were you born again?
71.
71. Okay, we'll find out what was the It Girl for 1971. And then the baby of the group here, Tom, 93.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And I, of course, was born in 65. So there you go. So we'll find out who's It Girl, what It Girl was born in 65, or was the It Girl of 65, of 71, of 89, and 93. And we want to hear from you guys. If the texts are up by the time we get to that, that would be awesome. And the phone lines are up right now at 312-981-7200. Also, Know Your Onion, that doesn't require the text line, so we can successfully pull that off this morning. And that'll be after the 4:30 news. Know Your Onion, that's Tom reading off some news headlines, and you have to guess whether they're real or they're from The Onion. Two contestants, first two through, will play a round each, and we'll crown a winner. All right, weird publicity stunts for major food brands. How about this? Coffee cups on car roofs equals free coupons. Starbucks believes in rewarding those who embrace the holiday spirit. In 2005, the Seattle-based coffee giant developed a campaign by which brand ambassadors drove around with replicas of Venti coffee cups affixed to their car roofs. If anyone stopped the ambassador to warn them about the coffee cup on their roof, the person received a $5 gift card to Starbucks. Starbucks wanted the world to know that being a good Samaritan really can pay. I actually like this one.
That's fun.
I think that's actually, I think that's kind of fun actually.
I kind of want to do it now.
I think that sounds kind of fun. Like they're driving around with a, you know, coffee cup on top of the car, and you go, "Hey, your coffee cup's on the car. All right, here's $5." Here's a $5. Here's a $5 coupon for Starbucks. I like that one.
Yeah, but for every one person that does it, everybody else is going to have their phone off. Like, look at this jackass.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, you know, but those who do actually are good Samaritans
get a free coffee.
Get a free coffee. You know, I'll tell you something right now. That's one of my favorite moments in Speed. Is when Keanu puts the coffee cup on top of the top of his car, and the explosion happens, and he gets in his car and he starts driving. The coffee cup stays there till it goes out of frame. Just, it's one of the things. That's, I mean, I've seen Speed like 8,000 times. I love that movie. I love that movie. But yeah, when the explosion happens and he's got the coffee cup on top of the car. And I was like, the coffee cup didn't move. Like, he's driving away, he's speeding away. Coffee cup's still on there. It might fall off like a second before it exits frame.
Yeah,
but it stays on there for a good portion of, because he peels out.
Yeah, like, it stays on there longer than it has any right to.
Absolutely. I was like, that's the greatest balanced coffee cup I've ever seen in a movie. And by the way, Keanu Reeves' entrance, his character's entrance in Speed, one of my favorite entrances of all time. It's not really him, it's his car. His car is in mid-flight when he enters the movie. Like, it's like, brrr, you hear the sound of the car, and all of a sudden, boom, he's in the air. If the car hits the ground, he peels out and pulls up in front of the building where the elevator is being kidnapped by Dennis Hopper. Pop quiz. I love that movie. I remember the first time I saw that movie, that's the whole car in the air scene. I'm like, now see, that's how you introduce your badass, you know, your badass movie hero.
That movie is what Bill Simmons has called a 5 o'clocker.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, you know, you don't want to necessarily go home because the traffic's bad. You get off of work 5 o'clock. You don't want to go home. You're going to do something for a couple hours maybe. And that's a movie you just can watch, turn your brain off, and just enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that movie.
It's amazing.
I think it's great.
It's a thrill.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, here's our next weird publicity stunt by a major food brand. And again, if you want to jump in with any of your thoughts on this or memories, text lines are still down, but the phone lines are open at 312-981-7200. How about this? Message in a bottle. Imagine walking the beach and finding a sealed bottle of Guinness. But instead of finding beer inside, you find a note from King Neptune, the Roman god of the sea. In 1959, that happened to people along North America's Atlantic coast. Guinness wanted to build brand awareness in the area, so they dropped 150,000 sealed Guinness bottles into the ocean. The bottle contained Neptune's scroll announcing the House of Guinness's bicentenary, as well as a document instructing the reader on how to make a Guinness bottle into a table lamp. While there was no free beer, they did walk away with an arts and crafts project. Okay, see, now that's just dumb. That's just weird. What the hell does King Neptune have to do with Guinness?
I don't know. It was in the ocean. It was in the water.
1959. Now, I'll tell you what, though. The worst part is opening that up and there's no Guinness in it. That's the absolute worst part.
It's a travesty.
It is also a tragedy. God, I loved Guinness when I was a drinker. Oh, man.
We used to get, at the movie theater, people would return their Guinnesses because we sold it in the can. And they would come up to me and they'd be like, hey, there's something wrong with my beer. What do you mean there's
why? Because the it would make the sound when they opened
well,
it?
Well, it was because they would hear the widget.
Come on.
And they'd be like, what the hell is this in my beer?
Come on, man.
And
that happened more than once?
It happened at least once a week.
Get out of here.
I worked there for 2.5 years, and it happened once a week. Someone would get a Guinness and be like, hey, there's something in my beer. It's defective.
Man, oh,
and I'd literally have to stop and be like, okay, it's because it's not carbonated, it's nitrogen, so they had to put the thing in. I promise you it's supposed to be there. And they would still be like, well, I don't want this beer anymore. I'd be like, well, okay, I'm not going to help you. I can't really help you, man.
That just makes me sad. That just makes me sad. Oh, man.
And for all you good people out there, we're back in business on the text line.
Oh, the text line is back up.
Yes.
Okay, they set around after 3 o'clock. So if you guys want to text in here, it's 312-981-7200. We're talking about very weird publicity stunts by major food brands. 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open and text lines are open. All right. How about this? Can anybody resist the smell of flame-broiled burgers? The answer is most people. At least when it comes to a form of body spray. Burger King's 2008 campaign promoting, quote, the scent of seduction may be one of the weirdest ideas ever. The fast food company thought they could capture the world's attention by creating and advertising a meat-scented cologne called Flame by BK. Though select New York City stores actually sold the scent, all of this was a tongue-in-cheek campaign to make the 18 to 35-year-old male demographic laugh. So, but they actually did sell it in New York.
I wish I had some of that.
Well, have you ever gotten a White Castle candle?
Wait, they have candles?
Yes, man.
And they smell like sliders?
Yes, they do.
Oh. Dear Santa.
Yeah, no. There's White Castle scented candles.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, and they smell like sliders. So,
in case you want to seduce,
they smell. Let me just put it to you this way: they smell like my car used to smell at 8 o'clock in the morning after a night of drinking. That's what they smell like.
Yeah.
Oof. I can't tell you the number of times I've had bags of empty slider containers in the back of my seat of my car.
Really great for picking up chicks.
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, man.
Hey, you hungry? I think I've got a...
Well, not only that, it was really great for picking up chicks, especially in my 1986 Ford Escort.
Oh, yeah.
That car is a chick magnet right there, man. You want to get it? You want to make sure you got a high volume of turnover on your chicks? Get yourself a gray 86 hatchbacked Ford Escort.
That's...
Yeah, man. All right, we have to break here. Text lines are open, so you can communicate with us via text, and we will read them on the air. But the phone lines are open, too, at 312-981-7200. We were talking about some of the weirdest publicity stunts by major food brands, in addition to Flame by BK, a flame-broiled burger-scented body spray.
Still better than Axe.
Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. Less douchey. All right, we'll be back after this.
She's just mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Wednesday morning, Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? Any artist, any song, in a thin 312-981-7200. All right. Who requested the Donovan?
It's coming to us from Elaine, a little Mellow Yellow.
Elaine wanted to hear some Donovan. If you would like to hear Donovan, you should go see Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, because it starts with Season of the Witch. Which is a fantastic song. And then I can't remember, they do a modern version of it. There's somebody new covers it for the closing credits. Which, by the way, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is a really good movie. Like, really, really, really good, and creepy, and scary, and awesome.
It's Lana Del Rey.
There it is, Lana Del Rey.
Oh, and she just helped, she gave Guillermo a little speech for when he got his star in.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she was there.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I guess she's a big fan.
Must be. But yeah, Scary Stories Tell in the Dark, really cool. And a great use of Season of the Witch. So, all right, welcome back, everybody. Hey, the text lines are up. If you would like to text us, I'll read them on the air, and you can be part of the show at 312-981-7200. And the phone lines are open. We are talking about some weird publicity stunts that major food brands have done. 815 area code says, via text, I always chuckle when IHOP offers all-you-can-eat pancakes. Really, how many can you eat before you are stuffed and nauseous? Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier, right at the beginning of this conversation, was because they, Olive Garden offers, like unlimited pasta specials,
And breadsticks. So how much pasta and breadsticks can you eat? Especially like if it's covered in like an Alfredo sauce or something.
Yeah, pancakes is just, I mean, it's just nothing but fluff. You're going to fill up on that real quick.
Real quick. Yeah. That's why I always like when I see people who have like the big breakfast where they've got like their bacon and they've got eggs, they've got hash browns, toast, and then a side of pancakes. I'm like, good Lord.
No, I always substitute usually it's a choice between that or like hash browns. Hash browns make sense.
Yeah.
But pancakes are like those. That's a meal in of itself.
Yeah. Yep. All right, how about this? London commuters experienced an unexpectedly bright morning during January of 2012. Tropicana worked with the art collective Grey World to create a fake sun, promoting their Brighter Morning campaign. Oh, that sounds horrible. That sounds like a nightmare. The quote-unquote sun, made up of more than 60,000 light bulbs, rose over Trafalgar Square at 6:51 a.m. on a particularly chilly morning. The sun set at 7:30 p.m. Tropicana continued to promote their Sunday fun day by having Londoners sit under the sun with branded glasses, deck chairs, and blankets. 60,000 light bulbs at 7 o'clock in the morning.
With a bunch of surly Londoners.
Oh, man. 6:51 a.m. Is that what you want to see at 6:50? You're on your way to work. 6:51 a.m. and 60,000 light bulbs are blasting you in the face.
Heck, I get mad when we're headed home from work here and this real sun comes up.
The real sun starts coming up, yeah.
Come on, go away.
Man. All right. These are some of the crazier publicity stunts by major food brands. If you want to jump in, talk or text at 312-981-7200. Some of the craziest publicity stunts can't be planned. We live in a world of 24/7 social media, and when the Twitterverse gave Morton's Steakhouse an opportunity, they seized upon it. Before flying from Tampa to Newark, Peter Shankman, an entrepreneur and author, joke tweeted at Morton's Steakhouse that he wanted a porterhouse steak to be waiting for him when he landed. As Shankman was a frequent diner and social media influencer, Morton's Steakhouse saw the opportunity to start a conversation, and they went for it. When Shankman touched down in Newark, he was greeted by his car service driver and a Morton's delivery man. And so they did it. If only all travelers could experience that happiness at an airport. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. You get off a plane in Newark, and then you got a steak waiting for you. I like that. You can't do that for everybody. That's not a publicity stunt that that steakhouses can do for just anybody. And I'm assuming that this is an absolute one-time thing where this has happened. And this guy, Peter Shankman, clearly has a lot of money, I would imagine, has a lot of money and has spent a significant amount of time at Morton's to get this service from them. But that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. It would have been even, you know, would have been even cooler. He would have felt even better. Like, he gets off this plane, and really, there's his car service and a Morton's delivery man with a steak from Morton's. You know what would have been even cooler? If he actually landed at LaGuardia, because that's the worst airport in the world, and to walk out of LaGuardia, if they just walking through LaGuardia is a nightmare. So you walk through, and you're like, oh, man, you're bummed out because you're in LaGuardia.
You're sweaty.
Yeah, and the place sucks. It's like the worst airport on the planet. And then, like, you're like, oh, boy, yeah, I can't wait to get home. Hey, you know what? You just walked out of LaGuardia Airport, and here's a Morton steak. That's your reward for having to use LaGuardia Airport. I have not had a non-crappy experience every time I've flown into or out of LaGuardia, which is why I've flown in and out of, to New York from, you know, out of LaGuardia, depending on what the price of the ticket is. But you choose Newark every time. If you're flying to New York, choose Newark every time. It got to the point where I just didn't go to LaGuardia anymore. I was like, I can't do it. Newark is a much nicer airport, you know. Yeah, and the bus ride into the city is fine. LaGuardia is closer, but still,
Yeah, it's like flying to London. If you've ever, have you ever flown into Gatwick?
No, I've only been to Ireland.
You've only been, and you flew direct.
Direct.
Was that Shannon?
It was out of American.
No, I mean the airport. Yeah, is that Shannon Airport? I can't remember.
In Dublin?
Yeah, I can't
remember. It was just Dublin.
It might just be called Dublin.
Yeah, I think it was just Dublin.
But it was a
direct flight.
Yeah, direct
flight. It was O'Hare straight to Dublin, Dublin straight to O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
No layovers or anything.
Yeah, in London, you've got Heathrow and you've got Gatwick, which is the LaGuardia of London. And it's even worse because you're jet lagged. And you're in a foreign country, so you have to go through the non-citizen line.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a nightmare. But yeah, LaGuardia is just a dump.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's a dump. I haven't been there in years, to be fair, but every single time. Hey, that's how I saw an episode of Friends, because we were sitting on the tarmac at LaGuardia, and I saw a VHS episode of Friends, which, by the way, starts in about 30 seconds on Channel 9.
Oh, boy.
I wonder what guest stars will be on today. I do think, whenever I'm in here and I'm looking at it, I just think that Lisa Kudrow is unbearably cute. Like, I love her.
I feel so bad because her character in that, and I've barely watched Friends, but her character in that is my least favorite out
of
everybody.
From what I understand, she's a complete idiot. And the episodes that I've seen, she's an idiot, but I love her.
Yeah, she's super funny.
She's fantastic, and she's great in, what's that movie about John Holmes where he's get the murders, Wonderland.
Oh.
She's great in that. She's great in, well, Romy and Michelle is just a gift from God, as far as I'm concerned. Her TV show, The Comeback, fantastic. I love her in everything Booksmart. She was in Booksmart.
Her and Will
Forte.
Will Forte, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I like looking at her at 3:30 in the morning. That's always fun. Okay, we're going to break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about some food stuff, some really weird publicity stunts by food companies, and we're going to jump into who was the it girl for every year going all the way back. And if you guys are curious, it's 312-981-7200-TALK, or text is working. All right, news is up after this.
Here, the last of Barrett's privateers. Oh, well said Barrett, cried the town. How I wish I was in Wade Cruz. The seas for American gold, we'd fire no guns.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday here. And there you go. All right, so any artist, any song, anything, who requested that?
That's coming to us from Carol.
Carol, okay. Yeah. All right. So we are back here, and our text lines are up and running. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about some publicity stunts made by major food brands. A couple of more food things we're going to jump into here. And then we're going to jump into the It Girl from every year. If you're curious about who was the it girl, and you know what I'm talking about when I say it girl, quote, unquote, capital I, capital T, it girl, for maybe the year you were born or a specific year, maybe you want to take a guess at who would be the it girl of certain years, 312-981-7200, that'll be coming up. Also at 4:30, after the 4:30 news, it's time, it's Wednesday, which means it's time for Know Your Onion. And Tom came up with this game. He's your host, and he will read you news headlines. And you have to guess whether they are real or from The Onion. The Onion being a satirical newspaper that writes goofy and funny news stories. And we have this game because the real news in the real world is really weird right now. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between a real headline and an Onion headline. So Know Your Onion's coming up. We'll get two of the first callers in. Each caller will play around on their own. And you will not go home empty-handed. All right, let's get back to some of the weird publicity stunts by major food brands. So here's another. We got some texts coming in at 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, Lifetime Olive Garden would have been very useful to me if I were still in college. I could cover that in 6 years. You went to college for 6 years. It's like in Tommy Boy, a lot of people go to college for 7 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. Olive Garden would be great for, I bet a lot of college students will be there. Because, by the way, again, I'll remind you in case you weren't listening.
At 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, you could line up in a waiting room, actually at 12:55 p.m. on Thursday the 15th in the afternoon. You can vie for one of 50, count them, 50 $500 lifetime pasta, where you can have pasta for life, for the rest of your life. So I bet a lot of college students are going to try to get that. So 219 area code says, I remember when I was 10 years old in Spokane, Washington, the whatchamacallit candy bar came out. They drove around our neighborhood with a Mr. Pibb truck giving out free candy bars and pop. We followed those trucks for hours. Geez, that I can't imagine what kind of shape the kids were in drinking Mr. Pibb and eating whatchamacallits all day.
The parents were probably really ticked.
Oh, they probably came home. That was like suddenly you have a Tasmanian devil for a daughter after eating like 50 whatchamacallits and downing about 60 Mr. Pibbs. Who thought the idea of pairing a Mr. Pibb with a whatchamacallit was a good idea?
Some geniuses who wanted to get kids hooked.
Whatchamacallits are good, though.
They're so good. But they're not as good as a Take Five.
Well, Take Five is the best candy bar of all time. Have you and I ever discussed this?
Well, we've talked about it.
It's the best. Take Five is the greatest candy bar of all time.
They put a full pretzel in it.
Full pretzel.
Full pretzel.
It's just that they're not messing around. You get two of them, too. It's two pretzels.
Right.
Covered in four different ingredients because the pretzel is one of the Take Five, one of the five ingredients.
Eat your heart out, Hershey's.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's the best. It is the best candy bar of all time. And, you know, just the Halloween, just the in the past. Let me explain something to you, Tom. Because this will be your first Halloween working with me. Okay. Dave Ennett always has too much candy for the trick-or-treaters. So, like a lot of people, the newsroom becomes full of candy. Like, the place becomes full of candy. People bring all their leftovers. Like, they didn't get as many trick-or-treaters as they thought. You know what I mean? So the place is usually bombarded with candy. Like, everybody brings their leftover candy from home, brings it here, which is awesome. But let me explain something to you right now. Dave Ennett gets the good stuff.
He goes all in.
He goes all in, and including Take Five.
Oh,
so he brought in, you know, like his left. And this is a message for anybody who knows where Dave Ennett lives and knows the area. Go to his house to trick-or-treat because you won't get crappy candy. You will get top-notch candy. You will get the best candy. And he brought in like a sack of it last October, or November, I should say. Oh, my God. And he had Take Five as part of it.
I love it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Halloween was a big deal in our house, so we never skimped.
Yeah.
Fun size? I don't think so.
Yeah.
We're going beyond that.
But, you know, the thing is, it's like, there's all, I mean, everybody knows the crappy candy that you get on Halloween, you know? And there was some of that here represented. I don't know who brought it in, but I will say that in the candy jars and in the newsroom and in the bowls and in the oranges, in the pumpkins that would be set out to house all the leftover employee candy from all the people that work here on the 18th floor, from every department. Everybody had leftover candy. They would bring them in. Some of it was crappy. I will admit that there were some people who got the kind of candy and gave it to the kids, that the kind of candy that the kids don't really like. But I'm telling you, top on the list, by a mile, was the Ennett family. Because I was eating candy like a maniac for the entire, like almost, you know, for 3 weeks in November after Halloween ended, because there was candy everywhere. I was eating a lot of it. But again, the Ennett family, trick-or-treat there. You will not be disappointed. Or don't trick-or-treat there. Wait, you know what? Don't trick-or-treat there. Then that means Dave will bring in more candy for us. So, but yeah, good stuff, man. Right at the top. I was so, like last year when Dave brought in his stuff and he was like, go ahead, take as much as you want. He came right in here with a giant bag as soon as he came in because he gets here about 4. 4:30, between 4 and 4:30. I like it when Dave is magically on TV. Like, I'll look on and he's on the morning news and then he shows up here like 10 minutes later. Like, wow, how did that happen? It's magic.
How'd you get out of the TV, Dave?
He got out wearing a different set of clothes, too. I don't know how he does it. But anyway, he came right in. As soon as he walked in, walked into the studio, boom, just came over and said, just dig your hand in there. And I dug my hand in there, and then I came out with all the good stuff. We're talking Snickers. We're talking Milky Way. We're talking the number one, the best candy that you could get on Halloween. And then when I saw that there were some Take Fives in there, I almost passed out. So make friends with Dave. Don't make Dave mad before October 31st.
Well, you know, they were trying to pin us for stealing the yogurt.
I know, man. What is all that? Just because we work overnights, everybody thinks we're deviants? Do we steal stuff out of the fridge?
Well, to them, I don't think they ever really suspected you, because they're just like, nah, Nick DiGilio.
No, they didn't suspect, but they, because you were new at the time, they were like, who's that new kid?
I was an unknown quantity, as they say. But then he got a visit from the yogurt fairy.
Right.
Everything was all good.
Everything was good. So, but we'll get blamed for it. It's the overnight. That's when the texts go down. Tom, that's when we can't use the text messaging. They decide to do service in the overnight. Like, oh, they don't need it on overnights. Nobody wants to contribute to the overnight show. Listeners don't care to text. Let's do some service. Let's have the service out during the overnight. Nobody will notice. When, in fact, we have a ton of listeners who participate on this show. I hate to say that. No, I don't hate to say it. I just want to inform whoever's in charge of shutting down the text device when our show is on.
Dear God of texts,
we have listeners. And in fact, we have a lot of listeners.
And they are our friends.
And they like us, and they like to contribute to the show, and it's fun to have the texts. Some people are work. They can't call. Some people are a little shy, maybe don't want to be on the air. That's why that's why the text messaging stuff that we have as a possibility for a talk show on a radio is great. So, okay. Do we have weather? Do we have weather? We got weather. Okay, I'll get weather for you in a moment here. And we got the weather, and then we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up the strange publicity stunts for major food brands and jump into the It Girl for every year, going all the way back to the 30s. So if you're curious about who the quote-unquote It Girl was, the year of your birth or any specific year, we would love to help you with that. Talk or text at 312-981-7200, and we'll jump into that topic after the 4 o'clock news.
Why don't we do it in the road? 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 No one will be watching us.
Yeah. Alright, welcome back everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate studio, Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday.
Yeah!
And that's any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. At 6 o'clock, Steve Cochran with your morning drive. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Alright. Wildcard Wednesday, who requested the Beatles?
It's coming to us from Lulu.
Lulu wanted to hear, why don't we do it in the road? All right. Hey, so we're talking about some really strange publicity stunts that major food brands have done. Some of which are kind of cool. I thought the coffee cup on top of the car roof was kind of a neat one. And some are absolutely ridiculous. Which was Snapple building the world's largest popsicle that melted all over New York City. Those are just some of the weird publicity stunts that we've been talking about. We got some phone lines open and some text lines going too at 312-981-7200. Here's David on WGN. Hi, David.
Hey, KFC, corn and cluck for a buck. Got a Kentucky Fried Chicken in the neighborhood, a bunch of wrestlers, and we're off season. Coach said, eat all you want. So they got a chicken wing and you cut this. I win the thing. And part of the prize was I get to meet Donnie Most from Happy Days. Or Joni. And Donnie Most wanted to give me a hug. I pushed him away and kissed her.
Yeah. So it was Joni and Ralph.
Yeah, because it was
Ralph
for
Mel?
Boys and girls, see?
Oh, okay.
See?
All right.
So I went for her because I had a crush on her. Big
yeah, well,
time,
sure. Aaron Moran. Who didn't? Who didn't love Joni?
And I'm getting hate letters from Chachi.
So. Yeah, I bet. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. All right, David, thanks.
All right.
There you go. Your promo is, your prize is, you get to meet Ralph Malph.
Donnie Most, he was Ralph on Happy Day.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never heard that. What is that?
It's from Family Guy.
Oh, it's from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a really dumb bit they do where Donnie Most rises from the fog.
Okay. How do I not know that? Is it that's a repeated bit too?
No, it's just from one episode.
Oh, just from one episode. Yeah. That's what I don't know. It's not like it's the fight with the chicken, right? That's not a
no. Which is the best.
Which is unbelievable. Unbelievably hilarious. And what I love about it is one of the things that I love that I really like about Family Guy. And I like the show. I don't love it. I like it. It's hit or miss. I like it when McFarlane just takes a bit forever. Like he does it over and over and over, or the bit lasts way too long. Because that's an old Jerry Lewis technique. Jerry Lewis says that if you do a bit, wait, hold it. If they're not laughing, continue to hold. And when the laughter starts, you'll get it. You'll get uncomfortable laughter. Then finally, if you're holding it, you'll get more laughter. You get genuine laughter. The laughter will die down, and then you hold it some more. And I can't tell you the number of times I've done that in plays that I've directed. And it's especially funny if a bit doesn't work. You're going to make it work. Jerry Lewis was like, I will never do a bit that doesn't get a laugh. If I have to wait an hour to get that laugh, I will. Jerry Lewis. Genius. Oh, I'd love to meet Ralph Malph. Who doesn't want to meet Ralph Malph, especially if there's chicken involved? All right, now I remember this one. Tom, you don't, because it happened when you were three. But I absolutely remember this one. April Fool's Day are gags that can be great for brands or an embarrassment. In 1996, Taco Bell took out an ad in New York Times saying that they bought Philadelphia's Liberty Bell. The ad also informed them that the bell's new name will be the Taco Liberty Bell. Back in the mid-90s, people couldn't go on Twitter or Facebook to find out the truth. Instead, they wrote the publication voicing their outrage. The hoax may have worked in getting press coverage. 650 print publications and 400 broadcast media outlets publicized the joke. But what does that say about your brand when people actually believe that you would rename a historic monument for your own gain? I totally remember that.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. This is legendary.
Yeah, it is legendary.
The Taco Liberty Bell.
Taco Liberty Bell. How about this? In 2011, Costa Mesa-based chain El Pollo Loco sent out a press release saying that they plan to create the world's largest man-made fire. Why would they create a fire? El Pollo Loco needed to get the word out about their new flame-grilled chicken. Spectators attending the event were shocked to see that they really did try to break the record, but in many publications they have stated that the whole promotion was a fraud. Note to brands, when trying to pull off a publicity stunt and a commercial simultaneously, tell your plan in advance.
El Pollo Loco.
El Pollo Loco.
Okay,
El Pollo Loco.
Chicken. Okay. Crazy chicken.
It's crazy chicken. And they were they wanted to make sure that everybody knew that their chicken was flame broiled. So we're going to make the biggest man-made fire.
At least they were on brand.
Yeah. And then finally, KFC yet again. That KFC is the one that's come up the most this morning as far as weird publicity stunts go.
They do some wild stuff.
From Donnie Most to the colonel rappelling down a high-rise in Chicago to a breakdancing colonel animated version of him, even though he was a real guy, to Jerry Lewis being the big mouth, to the RoboCop being a colonel.
I like Reba McEntire.
Reba McEntire.
Colonel.
But here's the last one. KFC may be the king of wild publicity stunts. In 2006, the company created an 87,500-square-foot logo at Area 51. Oh, that's going to be invaded soon, everybody.
Looking forward to it.
The company wanted to be the first brand visible from space.
And it was no coincidence that they picked a spot near the world's only terrestrial extraterrestrial highway. The former president of KFC Corp, Greg Daedrich, was said, if there are extraterrestrials in outer space, KFC wants to become their restaurant of KFC to become their restaurant of choice. The original world is not enough for KFC. They need the entire universe to be hooked on their original recipe. Okay.
What is finger licking good?
Finger licking good. Yeah. So, there you go. There are some stunts right there. I still say the coffee cup one was pretty cool. I think that's pretty good. I'm still saying that that's the one. And the one that would have made me the most angry would have been the Guinness bottle with a here's how to make a Guinness lamp. If I see a bottle of Guinness, I want Guinness in it. But, of course, that story, then you shared the story where that just made me sad, where people were bringing back cans of Guinness to you at the theater going, something wrong with my beer.
There's something in the can, man. It was ridiculous. They could not fathom why there would be a plastic ball full of nitrogen in it. Now, it sounds crazy. Sure.
That is a heavenly sound as far as I'm concerned. You know, I don't drink anymore, but it doesn't mean I don't love Guinness.
Yeah.
And that sound, I absolutely love it.
It's like when you go to a bar and they don't do the pour right.
Oh.
And you can tell.
Yeah.
They hand it to you and it's, if they hand it to you and the Guinness is already pitch black, they did it wrong.
Yes, they did.
Because you have to wait, what? It's like 90 seconds it should take for the whole thing to go through its process when it gets to your hand.
Yeah.
So it's really,
it was always aggravating not just out of the can, but for someone to pour a Guinness out of on tap and not know how to pour it. That would not stand in the bar that I worked at.
No,
would not stand.
When you were in Dublin, did you notice that there are a lot of pubs that say that they serve the best pint of Guinness in Dublin?
Yeah, almost every one of them.
It's like a big running joke because it tastes pretty much the same.
Everybody was like, "You'll never taste. You know, Guinness will taste completely different when you." When you taste it in Ireland.
Yeah.
Not true, but I will say this. Murphy's tasted different.
That is true.
Murphy's tasted different. Tasted better than it does here. All right. Okay, we're going to break. When we come back, hey, you want to know the It Girl from the year you were born? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The news is up next.
When criminals in this world appear, bring the laws that they should fear, and fight through all who see or hear. Tigers up so far and near for Underdog.
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 Underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting dog.
Ah, yes. We never go through a full wild card Wednesday without a TV theme, and that's a classic. Who requested the Underdog theme?
Coming to us from Paul in Maryland.
Paul in Maryland. All right. Yeah, man. Welcome, Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything? 312-981-7200. Yeah. Hey, welcome back, everybody. And we've got coming up after 4:30. Get your brain going this morning and know your onion, because Tom's going to quiz you. He's going to read you a newspaper headline or a news headline, and you have to decide whether it is real or it is from the comedy, satirical newspaper, not real, Onion. So know your onion. We'll have two separate callers get in here. They'll each play a round and win some prizes. So we do it every Wednesday morning at 4:30. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So we were talking a little bit earlier. We're talking about the It Girls. For those people who don't know, It Girls are like incredibly, you know, popular girls. They're very attractive, and they capture the world's zeitgeist, and they are the It Girl in the world of entertainment. So we already have some requests for to find out who the It Girls were of certain years. So let's go through that. Let's do mine first, since I was born the earliest. I was born in 1965, so let's see who the entertainment world's It Girl was in 1965. Here we go. It is, Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched.
Oh, I like that. Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched. They say Bewitched entered its second season in 1965, and Montgomery continued to, well, bewitch fans with her twitching nose and more. That's a good one. All right, and Vic, you were born in 71?
Yes, sir.
Tina Turner, my friend.
Tina Turner. I was hoping for Farrah Fawcett. That's
a little too early.
I had a crush on.
71 is too early for Farrah Fawcett.
Too early?
Remember, this is the year you were born, not the year you were like 10 or 11.
I know. What? She would have been in her 20s, right?
No.
She was born in the 40s, I thought.
Her popularity was mid to late 70s.
Mm.
She's probably on this list. But 1977-71 was Tina Turner. Tina Turner always gave electrifying performances, but her cover of Proud Mary took the cake, starting slow and building into pure euphoria. The single was released on their album Working Together, and that's when it took off. So that's 71. And then we had, we were talking with our good friend Kevin Powell a little bit earlier on, and he was born in 1989, so he wanted to know who the It Girl from 1989 was. Naomi Campbell. Naomi Campbell was the It Girl for 1989. The model's career and star power rose through most of the late 80s, but it was firmly established when she was a bankable superstar, and she appeared on the September issue of Vogue in 1989. So, for Kevin, Naomi Campbell, It Girl. And then 93 is when Tom was born. Tom, you wagered a guess.
I tried to. I said Claire Danes, but I think that might be a little bit too early.
Yeah. Are you ready for this? Whoopi Goldberg.
Excuse me?
Sister Act was the huge box office success in which Goldberg sang, danced, and saved the day. The sequel, Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, was a fantastic. It was a pure joy. She also starred in Made in America in 1993. So that's interesting. Whoopi Goldberg. Would you have ever guessed Whoopi Goldberg? I mean, you know, that was a big year for her. It was also a very controversial year for her. I don't know if people remember this or not. But in October of 1993, at that time she was dating Ted Danson. And they went to a Halloween party. Ted Danson was in blackface. They were both in blackface. And that caused quite a stir. It was at a roast, actually. It wasn't Halloween. It was at a roast. I can't remember whose roast it was. Maybe she was being roasted. And he came in blackface. Let's see. Bob, who is one of our great engineers, is here this morning. He wants to know 1962. 1962, Rita Moreno was the It Girl the year you were born. Rita Moreno, she won the Oscar for her breathtaking portrayal of Anita in West Side Story. By the way, she's in Spielberg's remake. She actually makes an appearance in Spielberg's remake. Which I'm really looking forward to. I'll tell you why I'm really looking forward to it. Because since the movie 1941, I have always thought that Spielberg needed to make a musical. Because the jitterbug sequence in 1941 is so brilliant and so well choreographed, and it's a really wonderful musical number. Every time I've seen 1941, which is a lot of times, I always think about how it'll be great to see him make a full-on musical. And the opening number at the beginning of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom with Anything Goes. Okay. 773 area code says, I want to know the It Girl from 1953. Well, it's Marilyn Monroe. So it's Marilyn Monroe. She needs no introduction. And that was when that's the It Girl that everybody remembers. Tons of people remember. All right, let's see. Anybody got a particular year that they want to get to know at 312-981-7200? Okay, so let's go to the 70s. Let's see who was in the 70s here as the It Girl. So the It Girl from 1970, and this is absolutely true, Ally McGraw, without question. And that was the year that Love Story came out. Love Story, A Tragic Romance, became a huge hit. And the phrase, love means never having to say you're sorry,
was set everywhere. She played the beautiful doomed lead and broke everyone's heart in the best way possible. And she was also hanging out with Steve McQueen.
The Getaway.
One of my favorites. We got 71. That's Tina Turner. 72. Carly Simon was the it girl of 1972. She released You're So Vain, one of the best revenge songs in the game, past or present, providing women everywhere. They're a great way to say forget you to their exes. 73. Liza Minnelli is the it girl. That's really funny. You know why? You know, hey, I'll tell you why that's really funny. Liza Minnelli says Minnelli won the Oscar in 73 for her work in Cabaret. And all you got to see is to know that she's the it girl is to just watch her performance in that movie. It's really funny because my ex-wife, my second ex-wife, was born in 1973. And her favorite movie is Cabaret. And she loves it. She loves it like every frame of it. So I think that's kind of funny and ironic. All right. Okay. We'll get back to the It Girls coming up. And then at 4:30, after the 4:30 news, we'll get you get two contestants on to play Know Your Onion.
Roll me up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, just look them in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And it is Wildcard Wednesday. You've been Wildcard Wednesday. That is any artist, any song, anything. Who was that? Who requested that? Who?
So that's coming to us from Brian in West Chicago. It's Roll It Up by Willie Nelson featuring Kris Kristofferson and Snoop Dogg at 4:20 in the morning.
At 4:20 in the morning.
At 8 on the,
look at that.
On a Wednesday morning.
There it is. 4:20. That's when we always play songs about dope. So
songs about lids.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're having some fun going back in time and checking out all the it girls from the entertainment world from the past. We've got some texts coming in with people who were requesting specific years, maybe the year that they were born and so on and so forth. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. And then coming up after the 4:30 news, we will do a couple of quick rounds of Know Your Onion. Tom will read a news headline, and you let us know whether you think it's real or the onion. Okay. 815 area code says, I'm older than you, 1959. That would be Ruby Dee. Ruby Dee was in a Broadway production of Raisin in the Sun at the time, and she wanted to play the same role in the movie version years later. And somebody, 219 area code, wants to know 72, which we mentioned already, Carly Simon. And we got, we're going back in time here. Who was the it girl from 1963? That would be Elizabeth Taylor. That's when she had the lead in Cleopatra. And that was back when they weren't making movies as with that kind of money. But yeah, she was definitely the it girl. We're going back here to 1955. Who was the it girl for 1955? Natalie Wood. Natalie Wood was only 16 when she starred alongside James Dean in 1955's Rebel Without a Cause. Somebody wants to know 1948. Paula wants to know 1948. Dinah Shore. Dinah Shore, her hit track Buttons and Bows was the number one most popular song for 10 weeks that year. Wow. All right. 1967. Someone wants to know 67, a couple years younger than me. 67 was Aretha Franklin. Respect ruled the Billboard in 1967, and it was an anthem of womanhood, and it was about strength. And it was released that year. So those are some of the ones that we've been getting in here. 312-981-7200. Taxi driver Bob wants to know who the it girl was in 1960. See if you guys remember. Janet Leigh. Come on, man. That's the mother of my favorite it girl, Jamie Lee Curtis. Janet Leigh. Fans were surely scared to take showers after they saw her in Psycho. And that was in 1960. Trevor from Antioch says, pretty sure 1980 is Goldie Hawn. Yes, 1980 is Goldie Hawn. Private Benjamin was released that year, and so was Seems Like Old Times. 815 area code says 1980, please. That would be Goldie Hawn. Binky. Binky? Binky texted in, wants to know 61, Audrey Hepburn.
Ah, yes.
Yes, Breakfast at Tiffany. Tiffany's came out that year. So,
based on the hit song.
What?
That was an attempt at a joke.
Oh, okay. Because I'm sorry, the hits. I got confused because the hit song of that is Moon River.
Yeah, well, you know the song "Breakfast at Tiffany's."
I do. Yeah, okay, I got a little confused there for a second. All right, somebody wants to know 1985. Molly Ringwald, of course. That was at the right at the height of the John Hughes era. So, all right, let's go back here and check out some more here from the 70s. We were at 73 was Liza Minnelli, 74 Pam Grier.
Yeah,
she was and still is something.
She is an it girl.
Foxy Brown came out that year along with about three other films that she made. 75, Donna Summer. Donna Summer released Love to Love You Baby in that summer, and she became the queen of disco. 76, there's your Farrah Fawcett.
There you go.
Vic was thinking 71, but 76, that's when Charlie's Angels took off. And in 76 to about 79 or 80, she was massive. And, of course, her poster came out in 76. 77, Diane Keaton, because of Annie Hall.
Right, right.
It's still a life-changing event for many young women trying to figure out their sense of style and self. She won the Academy Award that year.
She wore pants.
Yeah.
Like
well,
a man.
A lot of crazy stuff. She wore a lot. I mean, her wardrobe in Annie Hall, which is mostly hers. I love her in that. I love her in general. I adore Diane Keaton.
I will never forget the lobster bit.
Yeah,
when they're trying to boil the lobster, it's so funny.
It's great. I think that's a great film. I really do. And I'm not a big Woody Allen guy by any stretch of the imagination, but I really like that movie, and she's lovely in it. 1978, Olivia Newton-John, because she was Sandy in Grease. 1979, Meryl Streep was the it girl. Kramer versus Kramer, Manhattan, right on the cusp of the end of The Deer Hunter. She won the Oscar for Kramer versus Kramer, and that begun the era where Meryl Streep was the queen of everything. But yeah, 79, she was the it girl. 1980, we mentioned Goldie Hawn. 1981, Dolly Parton. She starred in the movie 9 to 5, started her film career, and was top of the charts that whole period. 1981, your it girl is Dolly Parton. 1982, oh, I love her, Deborah Winger. In An Officer and a Gentleman, she... you get an award-winning performance by Lou Gossett Jr., Richard Gere in his prime, an iconic final scene where Gere, in his pristine white Navy uniform, carries off Winger as her fellow factory workers cheer. I love that movie, but they hated each other.
Oh, yeah, pretty famously.
Oh, man, did they hate each other. She particularly despised him. Deborah Winger, from what I understand, was very difficult to work with because... You know, the following year, she did Terms of Endearment, and she and Shirley MacLaine hated each other, famously. Mm-hmm. But they're both amazing in the movie.
I find that if actors don't get along offset, or onset, rather, the performance tends to be better.
Well,
like Lorelai and Luke apparently didn't like each other very much. They didn't hate each other, but
yeah,
it works on Gilmore Girls.
Well, Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron hated each other when they made Mad Max, Fury mm-hmm. Road, and we know how that turned out. I love Deborah Winger. I loved her ever since Urban Cowboy. That's the first time that I saw her. It was in 1980, Urban Cowboy. 1983, oh my God, Chicago's own Jennifer Beals. Flashdance was massive that year. So she was your it girl for 1983. 1984, Lisa Bonet.
Oh, nice.
Because of the takeoff of the Cosby Show, she became Denise Huxtable, the daughter with amazing fashion sense, and everybody had a crush on her. 1984, Lisa Bonet. 85, we already mentioned Molly Ringwald. 86, Janet Jackson, because Control came out that year. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. 87, Cher. She won the Oscar for her performance for Moonstruck.
Right.
She was also recording music and touring, and that was the year that, like, the resurgence of the popularity of Cher. Well, she was actually taken more seriously because back in the 70s, it was Sonny and Cher, and they did goofy songs and goofy variety shows and stuff. 1988, Melanie Griffith for her role in Working Girl, which is a great film. A great, great film. 1989, we mentioned already, Naomi Campbell. That's the year that Kevin was born, Kevin Powell. And then we'll start the new decade before we break here. Who do you think? 1990.
1990.
Yeah. This is a pretty big one. When I reveal her name, that was the year that she went, when she skyrocketed.
I know. Well, this
in,
is the
she t- was in a t- in for the movie that she is became the It Girl is for one of the worst movies I've ever seen. But it was insanely popular.
1990. See, this is so tough because it was before I was born.
All right, you remember the movie Pretty Woman?
Oh, yeah.
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, she was the It Girl in 1990, and I despised that movie. So, all right, more It Girls. If you guys want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Before we do that, we got a break for the news. And after the news, we need two contestants right now. So call in at 312-981-7200. The first two contestants on the first two lines will play each a round of Know Your Onion. That means you have to know the difference between a real news headline and a fake onion news headline. They're both crazy, and it's hard to tell. But first two people through at 312-981-7200 will be our contestants for this morning's version of Know Your Onion. The news up after this.
They've let him lie for a very long time, till the rains from heaven did fall.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're about to jump in. We've got our contestants. We're about to jump into another edition of Know Your Onion. It's Wildcard Wednesday. Who requested that?
That's coming to us from Fly Jams John. It's John Barleycorn, Must Die by Traffic.
Okay, a little Traffic for you. All right, so this is a game that we do every Wednesday morning at 4:30 after the news. And, yeah. So it is called Know Your Onion. And you have to know the difference between a real news headline and a satirical fake news headline from The Onion. So your answer is real or onion. Tom, are we ready for our fantastic intro and bringing in the 60,000 fans?
It's time to Know Your Onion.
There you go. We do it every week. Tom, are you ready?
100%.
We have our contestants. Our first contestant to play a round of Know Your Onion is Mark. He's in Aurora. Hello, Mark.
Good morning.
Morning. Okay, you know The Onion?
Yeah, I've read it.
Okay. Well, you got to know the difference between a real headline and a onion headline. So your answer is either real or onion. So, Tom, go ahead.
All right, Mark, let's get started with your first headline here. Okay, a little theme music. All right, Mark, let's go over to politics. Mitch McConnell wonders if he could have done more to harm people in the private sector. Is that real or is that The Onion?
Onion.
Yes, that is correct. That correct. Is The Onion.
That's The Onion.
Very good.
That's got onion. That's another one that's got onion
written all over it.
Absolutely. All right, you got one right. Nice. Nice start, Mark.
All right.
Okay, let's go with the next one.
All right, next up. The Princess of Norway is dropping her title to become an Instagram influencer. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to go Onion again.
No, unfortunately, that is a real headline coming to us from Harper's Bazaar.
God.
Yeah, she's just going to be an Instagram.
I want to be an Instagram. What does she call it?
Instagram? Princess Instagram influencer.
Influencer.
Like that Kylie Jenner lady.
Sure.
With the big weird lips.
Sure. All right. Well, you're one in one here, Mark. All right.
All right. Next up. Suspects hold a man hostage at gunpoint, offer him a grilled cheese sandwich for his troubles. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to go real.
Very good, Mark.
Real. They offered him a grilled cheese sandwich?
Yes. This is coming to us from Fox 59 in Texas.
Wow.
They decided to, just do him a solid, give him a grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
Could be worse.
Wow.
At least you get a grilled cheese.
No, it's actually nice, a grilled cheese. I mean, they went to the they went to the actual trouble of actually making a grilled cheese and said, here's a bag of chips and shut up.
Yeah, meanwhile, you got a Colt 45 stuck in your face. Oh. Very nice.
All right, Mark, one more and you're a winner.
How's that?
All right, let's go over to sports. The NFL Players Association warns holdouts they need to consider the risk that they'll end up having to sign with the Jets. Is that real or is that the Onion?
That's the Onion.
Excellent! Yeah,
that's funny.
It's a fate worse than death.
That's funny. All right, man, you got the majority of five. That's three. So you are a winner, Mark. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you got a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnati's.com. Congratulations, my friend, and you got to hang on, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, Mark is on hold. He's going to hang on. Are we ready for round two?
Absolutely.
All right, this is Paula, who's in Chicago on WGN. Hello, Paula.
Hi. I find this game fascinating.
Okay. Well, here we go. You got to know the difference between a real news story and an onion story. So, Tom, proceed.
Okay, let's do this. All right, Paula, your first headline. They're already talking about a rematch. A tarmac worker and plane passenger play rock, paper, scissors through the window of the plane.
Real.
Let's see.
She says real. Yeah, very it's real. Good. And by the way, they were just showing the footage of it on Channel 9 News.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the person on the tarmac and the person in the plane doing rock, paper, scissors. It's absolutely real, and they just showed the footage on Channel 9. It, just as you were reading it, that's why it was just really weird.
You're making this face at me. I was like, what's happening?
No, that was happening on screen. The footage of them playing rock, paper, scissors was happening as you were reading that question. Really crazy. All right, good start, Paula. Two more and you win.
Wow.
All right, let's go over to a little celebrity news. Wayne Newton sued over monkey biting girl visiting his home. Is that real or is that the Onion?
That's true.
Let's see. Woo-hoo! Wow, very good.
So Wayne Newton's monkey bit a girl?
Yep.
Does the story include the name of the monkey? Because those are always a lot of fun.
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
Just Wayne Newton's monkey.
All right. That's enough right there.
Maybe he was named Juice.
Doesn't really need a name. All right, Paula, listen, if you get this next one right, you have swept it. You have won the three in a row, and that would be very impressive. So, all right, Tom, go ahead.
All right, here's your next headline. Study. This study says that the universe actually shrunk by about 19 inches last year. Is that real or is that the Onion?
I'll try Onion.
Let's see.
Excellent!
Wow.
Wow. Nice job. Nice job, Paula. You got all three in a row. All three in a row.
I missed that one. I want to tell you, but I think WGN is what keeps me so well informed.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Because I listen to you a lot.
Yeah, I bet. All right, Paula, you won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus locations in Chicago, or you can order online at loumalnati's.com. Congratulations, Paula. Hang on. So Mark is hanging on. Paula is hanging on. Get some information from them off the air. You're always a winner when you play the game of Know Your Onion, and we'll do it again next Wednesday after the 4:30 news right here on WGN. All right, let's get back to what we've been having some fun here with, the It Girl. You know, when someone comes out of the entertainment world and basically takes over for a long time, they become the It Girl. And we've been going back in time and checking out who are the It Girls from the past. We got a few texts here of people coming in. They want to know specific years. I'll get to those in a little bit. But we're into the 90s now. 1991, it was Gong Li, who was in Raise the Red Lantern. And she raised a lot of eyebrows when she was in that one. 1992, they also go with, I guess they share 1991 with another one. And that would be Jodie Foster. She impressively transitioned from child star to adult actress as Clarice Starling in The Silence of the Lambs. That was also, it defined her career, and she won her Oscar. She won an Oscar. Well, she won an Oscar a couple of years before that. I want to make sure people remember that she won an Oscar for The Accused. So that was kind of the first role that really put her on the map as being taken as an adult actress after some time away. 1992, 270 area code wanted to know 1992. That would be Whitney Houston. For as long as she was around, Houston was a superstar, belting out hit after hit. But 1992 marked the release of The Bodyguard, which was her stratospheric acting role. And so there you go. And, of course, 1994, because we did 93, which was the year that Tom was born. 1994, Winona Ryder. was the It Girl. She was already beloved for her roles in Heathers, Beetlejuice, and Edward Scissorhands, but it was her turn in Reality Bites that helped define 90s angst and turned her into a early mid-90s It Girl. So that's 1994 with Winona Ryder. 1995, this one's an easy one. 1995, Alicia Silverstone. Alicia Silverstone, because Clueless, the definitive 90s teen movie, as far as I'm concerned, is Clueless. It is a great movie, and she's great in it. You know, she caused a stir in the series of Aerosmith's videos, but her performance as Cher in Clueless is just legendary. So in 1995, Alicia Silverstone was indeed your It Girl. 1996, Renee Zellweger. You had me at Hello. Renee Zellweger became the It Girl because of Jerry Maguire and some of the other work that she did. 1997, Sarah Michelle Gellar. She was in Scream 2, and I Know What You Did I Know What You Did Last Summer. But, of course, it was Buffy the Vampire Slayer that did it for her. And Sarah Michelle Gellar was the Scream Girl, or the It Girl of 1997. 1998, it was Lauryn Hill. Yeah, so she was in the Fugees, but then the release of her first solo album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, was in 1998, and she became the It Girl of 98. The It Girl of 1999, obviously, it's Britney Spears. Hit Me Baby One More Time, that album came out, she became a megastar, and topped the charts, topped Video World and magazines and all of that stuff. 1999 was the first year for Britney Spears as It Girl. 2000, Gabrielle Union. She was in Bring It On and a bunch of other stuff in 2000. She was your It Girl for 2000. For 2001, Reese Witherspoon because of Legally Blonde.
What about Reese without her spoon?
Oh, my God.
Hold on a minute.
On that note, we need a break. Here's some weather for you, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap it up. We're talking about the It Girls from the past, and we'll get to the present as well. And I got a few texts here from people who want to know specific years, and we can fly through that some more. Having some fun remembering the It Girls of past and present. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here live in the Skyline Studio on 720 WGN Wildcard Wednesday, wrapping up. Was that my father?
That it was.
Yeah, my dad requested some Sylvester there.
Mm-hmm. You make me feel mighty real.
He's in a disco mood, I guess, this morning.
He's got the bell-bottom
He's ready to go. Ready to go. All right, there you go. That wraps up another Wild Card Wednesday. We'll do it again next Wednesday. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, if you're wondering who was an It Girl in a specific year, we're doing the 2000s right now. We're leading up to some of these, and we've been talking about some of the classic It Girls from the past and It Girls from the years that we were born or some other specific years. Well, now we're up to 2002. Halle Berry, she won the Oscar for Monsters Ball, and becoming the first black woman to win the Best Actress Oscar. And
Was that year too? I want to say it was. It was either that or the year following.
There was a
I
don't remember.
Yeah, maybe that was a different point.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a big year for her. 2003, Beyonce. With the release of Dangerously in Love, Beyonce became a solo artist, laying the foundation for her current world domination, which is something that I'm just baffled by.
Well, I mean, Destiny's Child was, like, crazy good.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just baffled by the whole Beyonce thing. I really am.
The Bayhive?
I just don't get it. I seriously do not understand the obsession and this the whole thing about the Beyonce thing. I just don't get it. 2004, this is a sad one. Lindsay Lohan. The year Mean Girls came out, she was absolutely the It Girl. I loved her at that time. But, man, How the Mighty Did Fall. She was just so lovely back in those days. She was, without question, an it girl. So, let's see. Let's go to 2005. Rachel McAdams, another star of Mean Girls. But it was The Notebook and Wedding Crashers that that put her over the top. She was the it girl for 2005. We're doing the mid-2000s. 2006, Anne Hathaway. Princess Diaries and then The Devil Wears Prada when she was teamed up with Meryl Streep. I still think Anne Hathaway's lovely, even though she is in one of the worst movies I've seen all this year.
Oh, The Hustle. Yeah.
Unwatchable.
That's okay. You can always go home and put on Rachel Getting Married and be like, God, look, she's so good.
She's great. She's great. 2007, Jennifer Hudson. I still think her best performance is Colossal. I still think the best performance that Anne Hathaway has ever given is in Colossal, which is my favorite of all her movies. Jennifer Hudson for 2007. She won the Oscar in 2007 for her role in Dreamgirls. And she just can sing, man. Did you know she could sing?
Yeah, she's the only thing about that insipid Cats trailer that I was like, well, at least she's going to sing Memory or
whatever. Well, I mean, she could sing anything.
Yeah, she's
incredible. Could just sing anything. She's just so remarkably talented. She's got such an incredible voice.
Mm-hmm.
2008, Kristen Stewart, because of the Twilight movies. See, I didn't think she became an it girl till well after those movies, and I think she's a massive it girl now. I love her.
She's an it girl. Well, she might get it girl status again soon for the whole Charlie's Angels thing.
Yeah, which looks weird.
It's a take.
It looks weird. I don't know. But I like Elizabeth Banks,
but
I love Kristen Stewart now. But back in 2008, I was like, these Twilight movies, please, just somebody punch me right in the mouth. 2009, Lea Michele from Glee.
That didn't last super long.
It lasted longer for me than anybody else because I was watching that show when everybody stopped.
Yeah, everybody was really into Lea Michele, and then she didn't really...
Well, she's still around.
I know she's still around, but I only see her...
Ryan Murphy keeps hiring her.
That's true. But the only thing I really see her in is these like wedding planning commercials for like a website.
Oh, okay.
That's the only thing I've seen her in.
2010, Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Because Easy A came out in 2010, and that was when she kind of went over. I love her. She's and the incredible. Trailer for Zombieland Double Tap, it looks fantastic. And the fact that they all came back, like all of those guys came back the movie came out 10 years ago. Zombieland came out 10 years ago.
Yeah, so you can't call it a cheap cash grab.
No.
And I love that in the beginning, they just show how each of them is either an Oscar nominee or an Oscar winner.
Yeah. All of them. The main cast have been nominated. Emma Stone is one.
Yeah.
2011, absolutely agree with this, Jennifer Lawrence. In 2010 was Winter's Bone. She was nominated for an Oscar, and then came the Hunger Games movies, the X-Men movies. I love Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's great.
There are things that I do like her in and things that I am just like, could have been anybody, really.
2012, I agree with this. I think she's one of the most beautiful women on the planet, Kerry Washington. I just think she's so insanely beautiful. And I just keep going back to, like, the first time I ever went, oh, who's that? Was in a pretty underwhelming movie that Chris Rock made called I Think I Love My Wife.
Is that Tyler Perry? No.
No, it's his movie.
It's just Chris Rock.
He directed it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he directed it. I know he co-wrote it. But that was the first time I noticed Kerry Washington, and she is ridiculously hot in that movie. Like, I remember watching that movie going, who is that? But she's gorgeous. I love her. 2013, Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave, and she's continuing to be fantastic and, like, niching herself a spot in the horror genre. After Us, she's got a zombie comedy coming out, too, and she's breathtakingly beautiful. 2014. We're getting close to present day here. Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin.
Yeah, probably.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's awesome. So she was that.
Big hit.
That was 2014. 2015, Priyanka Chopra. Oh, I love her. She married one of them damn Jonases.
Yeah. What was one of them?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know which one. One of the Jonases. Lucky bastard. But Quantico started. Then she had already been a star in Bollywood by that point, but she's just a knockout. Okay, so that's as far as it goes. It's 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. So somebody wanted to know what the who the It Girl was for 1934. Now, was this person born in 1934?
Well, originally they asked for 1930.
Ah.
And I said, well, we can't.
It only
back
goes
that
to
far.
1934.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, I'll give you a lot of the very early ones here now. We can wrap it up with that.
Yeah.
For the person who wanted to know the It Girl in 1934, the wonderful Ginger Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
1935, Bette Davis.
Of course.
1936, Greta Garbo. 1937, Katharine Hepburn. 1938, Ella Fitzgerald, It Girls. These are all the It Girls in those days. 1939, Judy Garland, obviously, because The Wizard of Oz came out that year. And 1940, Joan Fontaine, because of Rebecca. By the way, here's a weird thing. Remember how I told you that my second ex-wife, was born in 1973 and her favorite movie is Cabaret, and that Liza Minnelli was the It Girl? Her mother, my ex-mother-in-law, was born in 1939. Judy Garland was the It Girl. How weird is that? How weird is that?
Interesting.
That mother-daughter, the It Girls were both mother-daughter. 1941, Vivian Leigh. 1942, Hedy Lamarr. Hedley. Sorry, that's it happens to me every time because of Blazing Saddles.
It's impossible.
Hedley. 1943, Betty Grable. 44, Rita.
Rita Hayworth.
Rita Hayworth.
And the Shawshank Redemption.
1945, Joan Crawford. 1946, Ava Gardner. 47, Doris Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Doris.
1948, Dinah Shore, as we mentioned before. 49, Sarah Vaughan. 1950, Debbie Reynolds. 1951, Lucille Ball. And then we'll wrap it up, 1952, with one of the greatest It Girls of all time, Grace Kelly.
Yeah, that's my dad's year.
Yeah.
1952.
There you go. All right. So, tomorrow, who do we have on tomorrow?
Tomorrow we are...
A Chicago Magazine writer who writes really fun stuff. And we also have Triple Play Thursday.
And we do also have David Arnold. He flies helicopters for shows like Deadliest Catch and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he's up for some Emmys.
Right.
So
he'll be joining us.
Yeah, he's going to tell his story.
So we've got two guests tomorrow night plus Triple Play, tomorrow morning plus Triple Play Thursday.
Yep.